Good evening, everybody. Coming to you live from beautiful downtown Norwalk, Connecticut. We are the Tri-State Sports Guys. I'm Mike DePalma, alongside my co-host, Neil Lynch.
What up?
Back in studio, I got Tony D, fresh off the softball field.
Yeah.
Two torn hammies. It looks like the early diagnosis is Tony D could be shelved for a significant amount of time this summer at the Norwalk Rec League softball. Tough turn of events for Italias. So we got a lot to get to today. Obviously, we're going to spend the bulk of the show on NHL playoffs. So I'm sure you've got a lot to break down there.
Yeah.
We're going to really delve into like the 4-5 game out west and see where that's going to go, because I think that's a coin toss, in my opinion, IMHO. But we got to get to some NBA playoffs for sure. We got to get to.
You're throwing me curveballs.
We
got even 2 minutes in the show.
We
got
to get to the NFL draft. But we got to start out with, I mean, we ended last week's show, we were talking about 42. Was it last week we were talking about 42?
Yep.
And, you know, we talked a little bit about Jackie Robinson and that they say, you know, the next frontier, the last frontier of sports is going to be the first gay athlete to come out. And I think we kind of both agree that it's still never going to be at the level of what Jackie Robinson had to go through. I mean, the death threats and all of that. But it still takes a man's man to come out as an active player. So give me your first take. Like, I got a text from my former co-host, and said, did you see the story just broke in SI? First gay player came out in the NBA, active gay player, and he said, who? I said, Jason Collins, and immediately, obviously, I know Jason Collins intimately from my days as a Net fan. What were your original thoughts? What were your thoughts when you first saw the story? How did you see it? Was it on Twitter? Was it somebody texting you? And what were your original thoughts?
I saw it in, I subscribed to Google Reader, which Google is actually going away with Google Reader, which is, I think, is a huge mistake.
What is Google Reader?
Google Reader is a RSS reader. And that means, you know what? Well, I'm not going to get into that.
No. I still can't figure out what a meme is. I'm going to go with RSS reader. What else? Okay, so you
subscribe to a bunch of different websites, and it all appears in one place.
It's like Google Alerts. I get Google Alerts on various fantasy players I might want to pick up.
But this is
Billy
like,
Hamilton, Will
like,
Myers.
This is like you all these different – you subscribe to a whole bunch of websites, and every time they publish a story, boom, it feeds right into this one handy-dandy little browser thing.
And they're getting rid of it.
They're getting rid of it.
They're putting all their resources into the driverless car.
Right. And those glasses that are going to, like, cause all the car accidents.
Google glasses is where it's at. Okay, so you saw it on there.
I saw it on Google Reader, and I wasn't like, wow, oh, my God. I was like, oh, cool, man.
Yeah.
You know? And, I mean, it kind of picked up from there, and I didn't really follow it too much after that because I was like, we all kind of felt it coming.
Yeah.
Right?
The momentum started really over Super Bowl weekend.
We really didn't think it was going to be NBA, though, per se. We thought it seemed all signs pointed to it being the NFL because you had guys like
Amadejo
and the dude from the punter from Minnesota.
Chris Cluey.
And it seemed like the NFL was definitely going to be the one that brought it out. And we all thought that Teo was going to get up at the press at the draft and make the announcement.
Yeah,
there.
He stole his shot.
Yeah. But, I mean, here's the weird thing to me. Is that they say, quote unquote, he's the first active athlete, because there are other athletes that have come out.
Oh, of course. There was an NBA player, Amici or whatever his name was. John Amici, I think his name is.
So they say he's the first active athlete. Problem is, he's a free agent. And now it's like.
He's not retired.
Not retired. And he's still. Teams can pick him up, but it's like, who's going to pick him up? And for what reason? If you don't pick him up, are you now anti-gay?
100%. That's my biggest problem with it, is. And obviously, it's still brave for him to come out, but my fear is he's a free agent, a guy averaging under a half a point a game come in the last year. I mean, he's a serviceable 10th, 11th guy on your bench. I mean, if guys like, you know, Kurt Thomas could find a role, I'm sure Jason Collins could find a role somewhere deep on somebody's bench as a big man. But my fear is now some team's not going to pick him up. You know, nobody's going to pick him up, and it's going to have nothing to do with what came out. But that's going to be the backlash. And so you wish he could have done it like in the middle of the season.
Right.
Now, look, that's not to disparage what he did. It's still a very brave thing to do. I'm just thinking of it as like, you know, the backlash coming back off of that could be, you know, more of a media storm than we need to have happen.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and that's why it's, you know, people are so proud of this accomplishment and this achievement. But at the same time, like, what if he doesn't get picked up?
Yeah.
You know, then the rumor mills start to churn and the media outlets start to speculate.
Yeah, and I'm not going to – look, one of the things is like, oh, well, what's the big deal? I mean, there's the pundits out there like, this isn't a big deal. Why are we making such a big deal of it? What he wants to do is his thing. Look, this guy lived in secrecy for however long. He had a fiance.
Engaged.
He was engaged. When the owner of the Nets, the former president of the Nets said, you know, I met his fiance. Everybody thought they were going to get married. Like this. So this guy was living a lie. So just the act that like, oh, it's not a big deal. Yeah, it's a big deal. This guy had to live a lie his entire life. Through Stanford, through his professional career, and you know, a 12-year serviceable career. I mean, not any All-Star appearances, but you know, he started some games. You know, he got some decent minutes, could rebound, could feel the pain a little bit, and for him to come out, you can't downplay that. And maybe we'll get into a little later on and say what some of the negative reactions that came out.
But for the most part, would you say that it was the majority were positive or negative?
Oh, vastly positive.
Yeah.
I mean, overwhelmingly positive. I'd say 9 to 1, 10 to 1.
And it seems like, from what I've heard and read and seen, that this is going to not open the floodgates per se, but it you're going to see more and more come out as a result of this.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. You know, and then it makes him a big deal. I mean, I don't want the people that are out there saying he did this to like commercialize himself, I think are despicable people. He's not doing that. I mean, granted, he probably will make some money off of this.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's doing that for that. I don't get that sense. This is a Stanford graduate, you know, had a solid career. He's got plenty of money in the bank. He's not doing this to cash in on a book deal. You know, he's got plenty of money in the bank. He's a bright guy. He could have done whatever he wanted to after basketball. And he's doing this, so God bless him. So.
And what's weird is that we all thought it was the NFL, but from what I've heard, the NFL will be maybe the toughest sport of all of the major sports for someone to come out, because you have so many more players in that locker room. There's many different opinions.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of people, yeah.
Basketball, you got like 12 dudes in the locker room. Baseball, you got like, what, 25, 40 at the playoffs.
Yeah.
Football, you got 50-some-odd actives. And then
the practice squad. And there's a lot more trash talking in the trenches that the fans don't hear.
Right.
Basketball, there's trash talk, but everybody hears it.
Yeah.
And you're not going to want a player coming out there saying anti-gay stuff where everybody could hear them, because they know that'll impact them. On the football field, you can get right in the trenches and say some horrific things.
Yeah.
And nobody will know about it. But, yeah, we'll get into that a little bit later on the show. Before we get into the NBA, I do want to talk a little bit about our New York Metropolitans back off of the schneid. Broke their 6-game losing streak today. I was at the game on Sunday, and you know, I wanna get into that a little bit, but actually our phone lines are lighting up right now, so we're gonna go out. We'll start out line one. We got Bobo out in Queens. Bobo, you with us, buddy?
Yep, I'm with you guys.
Bobo, how are you guys? How's today?
How's the Knicks today?
Yeah, how are you doing today? It was your birthday yesterday, right? Happy birthday, buddy.
Yeah, thank you guys. I said I was gonna call in today.
Is that Mr. Malunigans in the background?
No, that's Rosie. She's the one with the loud bark.
All right. So, Bobo, what do you think about the Mets this year? I mean, they went on, you know, a nice little start to the season. They go on a 6-game losing streak. I mean, what's the real Mets? Are they going to be pretenders, or are they for real at all this year?
I think they're going to be surprise contenders.
All right. There you go.
Yeah, I have a feeling they're going to be surprise contenders. I think the last few games, maybe they're kind of their off point of the season.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, it's kind of...
You go to a lot of games, right, buddy?
Yeah, I go to as many games as I could.
All right. So what else is going on in the world of Bobo? I mean, everything good with you?
Yeah, no, it's just my birthday yesterday.
I heard you were firing back Jack and Cokes. I saw that on Twitter. You all right today? You hung over today?
A little bit, but okay. Well, I kind of had to after that loss last night.
My man. They got after a little bit after that loss. All right. Well, so, I mean, you think they're going to call up any of the young guys, Wheeler or Darnell, or you think they're going to go with the team they got and hold them down the minors?
Well, I know somewhere around the second half you're going to probably see Darnell and Wheeler. The thing is, Darnell, I'm not sure how soon he'll get called up. Depends on how soon he comes back from the injury, I feel.
Yeah, I know, and that's a shame, but at least we got John Buck, right? I mean, he's playing like a man possessed right now.
Yeah, he's doing good holding the fort, and also another guy I feel who maybe would have gotten called up, but he got injured during spring training, would be Van Dekker.
Yeah, I liked him. He was a hell of an outfielder. He made a couple fantastic plays out there. I would have liked to see him just for his defense alone, you know?
Yep, that's true. His his call up will depend on how soon he comes back from the injury. I gotta look that up to see if he's where he is there.
Yeah, I haven't heard any reports from NEC or anybody giving an update on him. What's your status with the Opie and Anthony show? You getting on? I mean, they didn't even get you on for your birthday. What's up with that? Did you give Anthony an earful?
Well, on Twitter, I got a direct message. He wished me happy birthday.
Oh, that's nice. He didn't wish me a happy birthday, and I'm a loyal listener, so there you go.
Yeah, that was pretty good. But he keeps telling me I'll be on soon. Be patient.
There you go. You got to be patient. I'm sure little Jimmy's pulling for you there. You got any new love life? Anything new in your love life, Bobo?
No, as you know, I'm single.
All right, play in the field. Hey, you keep going to McFadden's, you'll find something. I mean, there were girls all over my co-host, Neil. We went there on 420, and they were all over, Neil. Keep going there. You'll get lucky, Bobo. Don't worry about that.
Yes, yep, exactly. Hey, I'll actually be there watching a game. I'm going to be watching the Subway Series there in May.
Oh, in May. That'll be fun, though. That'll be a good place to watch a game. Maybe the Tri-State Sports Laws will go down there. We'll have you on again live, maybe.
Yes. Yep, I'll be watching the Wednesday game there.
Wednesday. Wednesday's a little tough for me, but that's cool, man. Well, there's not a bigger Met fan in the world than you. I know you're a big card-carrying member of the Seven Line Army, brother, so I appreciate that, pal.
Yep, I might be calling in from there as I'm watching the game.
And there you go. Well, now you got the number, man, so you call in anytime. And
I'll be calling in live from McFadden's that day on the 29th.
The 29th of May. We'll keep a line open for you. We'll make sure we'll keep line one open for you, Bobo. Well, I appreciate you calling in, buddy. Keep listening. Spread the word about the Tri-State Sports guys. All right, pal?
All right. Don't worry, guys. And I'll probably see you guys when I visit you guys next week.
All right. Sounds good, buddy. That's Bobo from Queens, of the fame of Opie and Anthony. Now, you guys aren't huge Opie and Anthony fans, but you don't realize the kind of impact this guy has across the airwaves.
I used to listen to O&A every morning when I woke up when they were on terrestrial radio.
Yeah, they were on NEW, they were on K-Rock. Yeah,
when they were on K-Rock. And then one day, I remember I heard Jimmy Norton, I caught the tail end of Jimmy Norton saying something about, you know, this is the saddest day and blah, blah, blah. It was horrible. And I was like, I don't know what he's talking about. I hop in the shower, I get out. Next morning I wake up and they got like Smooth Jazz or something.
It was a shift change for that. I was the, you know, there was always the thing, like, you either have to listen to Howard Stern or O&A.
Yeah.
When I was in college in the summers, I used to drive a truck. So I was in the car, like, all day from 6 o'clock on. But they were on in the afternoon. So there was never a competition. I listened to both of them. They were on NEW in the afternoon. I listened to Howard in the morning. Ron and Fezzi were in the midday, and that's when I switched over to WNEW. Listen to them. Listen to Pharrell used to be on there. You know that guy? You're the man. The guy with the weird voice.
Oh,
he does sports.
Man.
Pharrell, I don't remember when Craig Carton was on there, but he used to be on there for a while, and then listen to O&A, and it was awesome, and then they got kicked off of that for their shenanigans at the St. Patrick's Cathedral.
Oh, yeah, the fornicating in the church.
Yeah, I was listening to that show live, and they knew they were going on. It was Pebbles and Bam Bam, where it was this couple that caught fornicating in a sacred place, and they knew right away that they were in deep trouble. But, so that's cool to have Bubba on. I've been following Bubba on Twitter. He's a must-follow on Twitter. What's his Twitter handle?
At Radio Bobo XM 105.
I don't think that's him.
that's way too long, right?
I don't know that's him. Let me get. I don't think that's his Twitter handle. I think that might be a fake Bobo.
Really?
Well, that's pretty cool. He's got fake impersonators.
Yeah, no, because his. Let me pull it up here, because he followed me. I'm gonna pull up. It's just Bobo NYC 105.
Well, I just tweeted the wrong person.
Bobo NYC 105. He's got a nice little following, and I'll tell you, the girls love him. He's got girls direct messaging him.
Now I gotta delete this.
Yeah.
Tweeting the wrong guy.
You're tweeting.
I don't usually slip like that. I don't
know. Maybe we'll isolate Bobo and we'll get it. We'll tweet it out. He could tweet it out to his followers.
Probably, you know who that probably was? Probably Lene Kukua.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And that's how they're gonna. That probably wasn't even the real Bobo. But I'll tell you, I met him and I was a fan of him right away when I met him.
What'd you say his name was again?
Bobo NYC 105.
At Bobo NYC 105. But they were loving it, man. We hung out with them. I bought them a couple beers. We had a good talk. And I'll tell you, that guy knows his Mets, man. He knows his Mets talk.
Well,
I'm upset with myself.
Yeah, that's a bad job, but you got to wait for me here. You got to wait for me. But all right, let me get back to we'll keep some guys on hold for now. We'll get to you. If you're on hold, we will get to you in a little while. But I want to talk a little bit about my Mets experience. So I have a good friend of mine. He works at Bobby Valentine's Batting Cage down in Stanford, basically runs the place, and he gives hitting lessons to Jeff Wilpon's son. And he's his coach for Legion because he coaches the Greenwich Legion team. So he calls me up earlier in the week, says, "Hey, Mikey, I got some tickets." My friend's name is Mike as well, Micah Beatty. "I got some tickets. Jeff gave them to me." He's got a first-name basis with Jeff, obviously. And he says, "Great seats. We'll get down there for batting practice and everything. You want to go?" I'm like, "Of course I want to go." So we go. Me, Rich from Milford, who's a frequent caller of the show, another friend of mine, Billy, we get down on the field watching BP, like on the field, and we're all packing lips. We're spitting lippers on the field. It was unbelievable, sitting in the dirt there. And I got to see Carlos Ruiz, usually the Tucci Lumber, the sponsor of our show, Tucci Lumber, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I will tell you that Ryan Howard in person is not as big as you think he is.
Really?
Wow. It was, John Mayberry is 3 inches taller. John Mayberry is like, he looks like an NBA small forward.
Yeah.
And Dominic Brown is bigger than him. And Dominic Brown put on, and he's that guy, like everybody, he's like Desmond Jennings. Everybody's like, "This guy's such a prospect." And he kind of stinks when you watch him. You know, you're like, "This guy doesn't do anything." He put on a display from the left side. He put, first round, he hits the ball, everything in the left field the other way, just working on some things. His next round, he put 4 consecutive balls in the upper deck and right field, halfway up the upper deck. It was like the whole place was like, I had to stop what they were doing to watch him.
Yeah.
It was like just one of the more impressive BP rounds I've ever seen in my life. And in his third round, the same thing. He was putting balls up in the upper deck. I wound up picking him up on my fantasy team. He was a free agent. That's how nobody cares about him. I dropped David Murphy immediately and picked him up just based on that round of BP. So we get our seats. They're fantastic seats. Third row, right behind home plate. And third inning of the game, we get a text. My friend Mikey gets a text. "Hey, Jeff just texted me. He wants to know if we want to go up to his owner's box." I said, "Well, yeah. I would love that, Mike, actually."
"No, I'm good right here."
"Yeah, I'm good right here. It's a nice sunny day." So this guy comes down. A security guy comes down. He's like, "Mike Abatey, you know, Jeff just told me to bring you up." We go up this private elevator. Now, I'm expecting it's going to be like a big suite full of people. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be all different kinds of Mets brass or whatever. It is just Jeff Wilpon sitting at this chair watching.
Laying on a king-size bed.
He's just sitting there in his leather chair drinking like a bottled water. And a couple minutes later, his cousin came in. He was like a younger guy. He was almost like our age. Comes in. I didn't even know what Jeff Wilpon looked like. He's like a young guy.
Yeah.
He looks like he's in his mid-40s.
Yeah.
And
he doesn't look corrupt.
Yeah, I will tell you. And you know, I have not had very kind words to say about the Mets ownership and all that. But I will tell you this about him. We go in there. He's a very nice guy. And he was knowledgeable about the game, maybe like almost trying to show off how knowledgeable.
Yeah.
But he was like, of course, he was asking us where we played in college. All the guys had played in college, and Mikey played some minor league ball. We were talking about all that, but he was so into the game. Like, he was, when they blew that, they were up 1-0, and they tied the game, and then they bring in Atchison, and he gives up the big double,
right.
And he slammed his hand down, like he was genuinely upset about all this. And you got some inside information about some of the players.
Oh, okay.
Which was pretty interesting. I will tell you this. Jordani Valdesman comes in the pinch hit. We have been calling for him, right? And I'm like, "Oh, we're all fired." And my boy Richie's like, "There's your boy, Jordani." And I'm like, "Yeah." And he leans over to me. He goes, "You like him, huh?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "You should try to deal with him on a day-to-day basis."
No, thanks.
So that is why Jordani doesn't seem to feel that much. That's like,
well, you've seen his post-game interviews.
Yeah.
The guy's off the charts.
And in BP, I didn't mention this, so the Mets took their round, and they all left, and he's just out there just like literally like in the Philly dugout, like talking to all the guys, like making fun of people's stances, like running around, like, you know, and this guy wasn't even in the lineup. And he was like, you know, just out there like putting on a spectacle. And but Jordani came up with a big home run today, a big 3-run pop today.
Yeah.
So like off the bench. So, I mean, but that's – you get the sense that like – yeah, and Eddie Coleman is mentioned, and everybody kind of is mentioned. Like, he's a tough guy to deal with. And you can see that. For a guy who's like a role player, you think he'd be like wanting to kiss ass a little bit. Jordani's just being Jordani. He's the man right now.
Yeah, and but there's a fine line, right? So there's like some kind of algorithm or formula that all these general managers and coaches decide to put up with, right? It's like your output versus your ridiculous personality or how annoying you can be.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and I feel like, you know, not to make the jump back to the NBA, but Dwight Howard's approaching that, right?
Yeah.
Where he's a legend in his own mind. His numbers are decent, but they've been corroding and decreasing every year. And his personality just seems to be going through the roof.
Yeah.
you know, in terms of just offending everyone and is not saying the wrong thing
making
at the wrong
time.
Making
fun of Kobe at the All-Star game.
Yeah.
And you know what's bad is, as a Jet fan, you're starting to get some of those reports about Geno Smith already, that other coaches and front office people said that in their interview, this guy, like, came across as very uncoachable, Mr. Know-It-All. He knows everything that there is to know about football, which is obviously a bad sign. We're going to get into it.
Sounds like he's on the right team.
Yeah, that's right. He already predicted they're going to the playoffs, guaranteed it. We're going to get into the NFL draft in a little bit. But I will tell you about Jeff Wilpon. I mean, he was genuinely a nice guy. We had a good conversation. I told him about my father. I said, you know, my dad is going to, you know, be beside himself when I tell him this story that I was, you know, up here. And he goes, you a big fan? I'm like, he lives down the floor. He got the MLB package. He watches every game. And he's like, well, tell him thanks for watching. Like, he was into it. It was cool because you get the sense of these owners, you know, other than like Mark Cuban or Steinbrenner, the guys you know are really hands-on. I mean, this guy was, you know, on the edge of his seat that game, watching all this stuff, critiquing different players about what they were doing. This guy is always reaching for the ball. This guy's doing this. You know, he's definitely a student of the game. So I really appreciate it. I have much better respect for a guy like Jeff Wilpon after seeing that. He's not just the owner who, you know, wants to throw money or whatever, not spend money. I mean, he definitely is there to win. Whether he's spending the money or not, he's spending what he can. I mean, they still have shown the propensity to spend money at times, and hopefully next year he dips back in the wallet.
He better, because it's brutal. And I know I don't want to invest too much in April because, you know, I'd rather see them do what they're doing now in April than get off to the kind of starts that they usually get off to, and they get us all excited, you know, and they raise our hopes and false expectations. I'd rather see them kind of, you know, just go through all these struggles and whatnot in April, get it out of your system early in the season, and then come through in the second half of the season.
Or do bad enough where they can get rid of Terry Collins. You know my feelings about Terry Collins. And the guy who owns the 7 line, he was tweeting out different things. Let's not blame Terry Collins. He's only doing what he's been working with. That's been this guy's excuse since he's been the Met coach. Like, so what is he bringing to the table? He's not bringing the best. Name the one prospect that really has just shined under Terry Collins. Ike Davis had just continuously take step back. Lucas Duda, what? Because he walks now. He's like this big professional hitter.
It's like name number 5 in the on base percentage.
Yeah, but he's hitting 260. Yeah. You know, it's like, so who's the guy that really shines? I mean, you can say Daniel Murphy. I mean, Daniel Murphy was put up numbers. He could always hit 300. I mean, that's been what he did.
Well, he went like 0-for-17 recently during this slide. So
yeah,
it doesn't seem like that a lot of these guys want to play for him.
Exactly. You know, they quit on him last year.
Yeah.
They quit on him last year. And unless Matt Harvey's pitching.
He's making weird moves. There's no, like, rhyme or reason to his moves a lot of the time.
He brought in this Atchison guy, who's this big, fat right-hander, knowing, and he admit, oh, I knew they were going to pinch it, Ryan Howard. Now, Ryan Howard didn't start. He had the day off. So he pitched a righty, knowing he was going to get Ryan Howard up. And his idea was, well, he's got a good curveball, so we were just hoping he can get that over. Okay, Terry, fair enough. I mean, the way he used, even last night, I mean, Hefter throws a gem, but he's got 99 pitches through 8 innings. You got to just clash in your chips there and say, let's hand the ball over to our bullpen here, up 1-0 in the 9th inning. And, great, you know, he pitched a great game, and he winds up, you know, he gives a base hit to lead off the inning, the bad call at third base, you know, they bring in a Brandon Lyon, he doesn't get an out, and they lose the game. But why are you letting him be in that situation? Take the ball from him. Thanks, you gave us 8 great innings. You almost had 100 pitches. I mean, how many times in his life has he thrown 100 pitches? Because he don't make it that deep into games.
Well, he did that with Dylan G as well, where Dylan gives up 3 consecutive hits, you know, and ropes.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about, oh, the bloop here, a little dinker here. No, I mean, like, he's giving up ropes.
Yeah.
And I feel like at that point, he didn't have anyone warming up.
Yeah.
And then I think it was Howard or someone comes up and just launches one.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, how'd you not see this coming?
Yeah, especially with a guy like Dylan G, who is, you know, he's got to hit his spots, change speeds, and when he gets hittable, he gets very hittable in a hurry. And
the window closes very quickly.
It gets from being like, this guy can hit his...
Wow, he's got his hitting his spot to...
You
got to
have somebody up, like, starting to think about fifth inning. Like, okay.
Fifth inning, you got to have a guy that's ready.
You got to assume, look, we get 6 innings out of Dylan G. He's not going to give you 9 solid innings of a game. If he does, then you do that when the game's no longer on the line and you know, they're up 6-0. So there's plenty of things, and I've been saying it from the moment he got hired. I wasn't a fan of it, and I'm just hoping that, like you said, you know, they were able to kind of let him wear out his welcome. Bring Wally back, but fire the fan base up, and then get him going. I don't know. We got a couple other callers on the line. We're gonna go out to lines two. You are on with the Tri-State Sports guys. Who's this?
Mike.
Yeah, this is Mike.
Mike. Oh, hey, what's up with you? I didn't know if I was line one or two.
Yeah.
I wanted to say that I think that this Geno Smith is going to bring a bigger circus to the New York Jets franchise than Tebow. And I wanted to get your thoughts on that first. And then obviously we'll talk a little bit about the Mets, especially Wilpon, the guy that self-proclaimed the knucklehead that signed Carlos Beltran after a good playoff. I don't know if you remember that quote.
Still, I do remember that, but the guy is the best free agent signing the Mets have ever had. But that's neither here nor there.
Ever had?
The Mets. You can't name me a better free agent signing that the Mets have ever had than Carlos Beltran.
Was Hernandez traded, or was he a free agent?
He was traded. Hernandez.
Okay.
So you get, at least in the last 15, 20 years, I'm not going to go back to the – I have no idea about the 70s, but
– It might be relevant.
Delgado via trade, Piazza via trade.
Yeah.
I don't know. But to Geno Smith, let's get to your point about Geno Smith, because I'll tell you, talking to my Jets fan friends, I was midway through that second round, I was willing to say that this draft was just an abysmal atrocity. For them to go into with the weaknesses that they have on the offensive line to start, and you cannot win the NFL. You could win games in the NFL and even go to the Super Bowl with a mediocre quarterback. You cannot win without a good offensive line. They had a bad offensive line last year. They lose Brandon Moore. Warmack was on the board, and they go and get a corner who all this guy has to do is go up and live up to the hype of being the next Darrell Revis. That's all. He could just step right into that. And then they go out and their second pick. I'm like, all right, well, they're taking the offensive lineman. They take a D tackle. Who I guess is good. I mean, I don't pretend to know about Missouri football. But then I go to sleep, and I have friends, Paco from Norwalk, who's on the show a lot, and other Jet fans. Who do you want them to get? I said, I just don't want them to get Geno Smith. I really don't want them to get a quarterback in this spot. They got to build and just not to say you're going to throw away the season, but hope that David Garrard can make you watchable and then build up you build from the line out. And just, you know, go out and get some linemen now that you've done what you want to do on the defensive side. And then go out and get Geno Smith. Now, whose quarterback is going to be good is a complete crapshoot. We all know that. But when you have a guy that is basically universally bashed by his maturity level and
his
leadership level, by insiders, not just by like pundits, like the idiots like us. I'm talking about by people within the football world saying this.
Yep.
I'm with you, Maddie. I mean, I don't know. I'm hoping to God I'm wrong. But there's a reason why a guy like that, who's talented like he is, fell completely out of the first. And then it comes out, he thought he was going to be the first pick overall. There wasn't no person in the world that said he was going to be the first pick overall. Where'd that come from?
That was the worst. And the other thing also is, I want to hear, what's the Jets' plan? I mean, have we heard anything from their offensive coordinator? I mean, we knew going in what what's his name, Sperano, was going to be like, you know, with the wildcat and getting creative. Well, what are they planning on doing with this guy? I mean, well, first of all, they're not even saying that if this guy has, they're saying he's going to compete to start. But are they building this offense around Mark Sanchez, or is it going to be Geno Smith?
Here's the only hope I could have, Maddie, and here's what I'll give you. So I think at this point, you know, there's a lot of people out there saying they need to cut Mark Sanchez. And the only reason I'm against it is this. Strictly financial. I don't understand how the salary cap works. It's something to do with this prorated bonus. But I know if they cut him after June 1st, it's an $11.2 million hit to the cap. If they keep him, it's $8.25 million. So I would rather them spend that $3 million on somebody, an offensive lineman, a safety, or a wide receiver. But with the knowledge that, I mean, he is clearly not the quarterback of the future. I don't think you need to cut him. I think that you see what you have possibly in Geno Smith. The one saving grace is a second-round pick. They're not overly committed to the guy. And you see it over and over where, you know, the Browns go out and get Colt McCoy, and they don't like what they see there, and they go out and get Whedon. So it's not unheard of for a guy. It's not like they drafted him first overall or a top 10 pick. They're not committed to him. I think that I'm hoping that Idzig, and nobody knows what this guy's going to be as a GM, is saying, look, we found somebody. We had him as a mid-first round pick. He fell to us. We give him a shot. but we're not committed to him. We'll see if those three quarterbacks who wins the battle. If he doesn't win the battle, then what did we lose? We lost a second round pick. And we move forward.
I'm hoping. Mike, that's crucial. That's crucial. A second round pick is crucial. It is. I mean, it's not something to be overlooked, you know?
Well, it's crucial when you're a team like the Giants who actually makes good second round picks and not the Jets.
Right.
Guys like Mike Nugent in the second round.
Or the Patriots that make great sixth round picks.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, it's not like I had any misconception that the Jets were possibly, if they didn't take Geno Smith, that they were possibly going to find some diamond in the rough there at the 39th.
Yeah.
That pick was most likely going to be a bust anyway. So why not make it a big bust? I disagree that it's going to be a huge circus, but I could be wrong.
Mike, it's going to be a circus. He's going to say the wrong things. You know, I mean, in New York, we're famous for one thing, is that we look for goats. I mean, we really, really do our best to look for goats. And we haven't had one for a while. You know, we had Isaiah for a while, then we moved on to Dolan. And, you know, A-Rod's got a permanent seat there. But, you know, they're going to look for stupid quotes that this guy's going to say. They're going to look. You think that there's a quarterback controversy that could have been there last year? What do you think this year is going to be like?
Well, I think at this point, though, the reason I don't know if it's going to be a controversy is I don't think that Jets fan, every Jet fan has jumped ship on Mark Sanchez. And I don't get the sense from people I talk to that are, like, clamoring for Geno Smith either. They're just hoping that anybody can step up and be a great quarterback. It could be an efficient quarterback. It could be any kind of quarterback. And I think that if he's healthy, David Garrard is by far the best quarterback on the roster.
He's not healthy. He'll never be healthy. He'll never be healthy. I mean, he just won't. You won't. You'll never see him healthy. I mean, this is this guy. This plague follows this guy every year. I mean, he's like a guy that just sits there, gets hurt, and gets paid. You know. I don't know. I mean, were you suggesting that McElroy is going to be gone?
I think that the way the math works, unless I'm reading it wrong, I don't see why what the motivation for them to cut Mark Sanchez is. I don't think it's going to. I mean. I guess, to your point, maybe to get rid of some of that distraction and to give Jet fans this, like, sigh of relief, like, we're done with that era. But I'm more in the thing of, like, let's take this $3 million and spend it on somebody. $3 million can buy you a lot in the NFL as a far as, like, a role player. And not just to give away $3 million so that Jets fans could sit tight and be like, oh, we got rid of Mark Sanchez. Just don't play him then.
Yeah,
and then in the second round draft, you can also trade somebody.
You can also make a trade for a second-round draft pick as well.
I would hope. I mean, you could hope that maybe that's the case. And you hope that they could kind of build some of these guys. I mean, they did wind up. The thing I like after that pick, they did go out and for a fourth-round pick get Chris Ivey, which I like. They needed a running back. I think Chris Ivey could be a solid, productive back in this league. And then they drafted a couple offensive linemen. And the fullback, to me, a seventh-round fullback is ridiculous chance there. I don't know what that's going to get you. But they did go out and address some offensive line needs with three consecutive offensive line picks. Now they have some money to play with. I think they restructured DeBrickashaw's deal. So now I don't know who's really left for them to go get. But maybe they can go out. I mean, they need a couple of safeties. They need, they still need another offensive lineman to start for them. They need some linebacker help. They need a pass rusher. They need a lot. And hopefully, you know, that's why I don't think throwing away $3 million at this point could be the difference between being an absolute joke and being 1-15 and 2-14 to being a team that at least you could watch and could win six or seven games. I honestly think that $3 million at this point for the Jets is more valuable than this couple of Jet fans saving face because Mark Sanchez isn't there.
Yeah, and I don't look at it as $3 million. I look at it as a second-round pick, you know, and with all the studies and all the background and everything that they've done, I think that they took another chance. I compare this team to like 2002 when what's his name of the Mets when Phillips knew he was on his way out and all he wanted to do was just try to invest in these big name guys, just say, hey, you know what, I'm on my way out and I'm just going to take a chance and that's it, you know. And I don't know. I just don't think that this guy. I mean, he's definitely polarizing. He's definitely electric. You don't know which way he's going to turn. We've seen from him, you know, obviously within the past 48 hours, you know, the type of guy that this guy is, impulsive. He likes his name in the paper, that type of thing. You know, he's coming from West Virginia, coming in from West Virginia to New York. That's a big deal, you know. I saw a couple games with him last year. I did not think that he was anywhere near deserved to be the considered the number one quarterback coming out of the draft. I really did not. You know what? Who knows? I mean, it's going to be – it'll definitely be interesting. I mean, if Sanchez had protection problems, I mean, this guy is gonna, this guy is definitely going to have some trouble if he makes a spot. So I don't know. I really don't.
All right, well, Matty, I appreciate the call, buddy. Keep listening.
Hey, guys, listen, you guys keep doing what you're doing. It's great to listen to you. I'm a big fan and enjoy. So have a great night, guys. Thank you.
All right, thank you. That's the great Matt from Norwalk. Calls in frequently. We're going to go out to line one. Sorry you were on hold for a little bit. But the Abner on line one, are you with us?
Hello.
Hello.
I'm from the United Kingdom.
All right, how you doing out there from the other side of the pond, brother?
I'm doing good, thank you. Well, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, buddy. What's happening? What do you got for us?
Well, I was just wondering what kind of sports you do watch.
What kind of? Oh, we watch. We're a big baseball, football, basketball. What do you watch over there, buddy?
Baseball. I'm quite a big football fan myself, but baseball also. I love. What's his name? Travis Hafner. He's brilliant.
You're a big Bronx fan. All right, well, Bronk is doing his thing there. He's swinging the bat pretty well. What do you like about Travis Hafner?
Brilliantly. He is marvelous on the pitch. I mean, his bat is strong. He's doing great wonders for the Yankees this season.
Possibly the best $2 million free agent signing in the history of baseball. I mean, Yankee fans got to like the production they got out of Hafner. It was kind of a... You know, a little surprised what they're getting at him. So you're a big fan of his.
I'm a big fan of Hafner. He, as I said, he's done marvelous this season. Me and Didier often watch him and just marvel over his skill with the bat.
Yeah, you like. So you're a big Yankee fan altogether, or what?
I've been following him for about 2 years now, maybe. So I'm not altogether, but yes, Yankees, especially Travis Hafner these days. He's marvelous.
What's your favorite part of Hafner's game? Do you like his bat? Do you like his arm? What is his appeal to you?
It's his bat. His bat is brilliant. It's big, it's strong, it's hard.
I think that's all you need, right? Out of a slugger?
I think you hit the nail on the head there, Abner.
Exactly. I don't think there's anything else I can say about him. He's a real gem.
He's a diamond in the rough, and I hope that he's the starting DH on the American League All-Star team this year. Well, thanks for listening, buddy. I appreciate the call.
He's a fine specimen indeed. Have you been watching the wrestling?
The wrestling? No, I'm not a big wrestling guy. You're a wrestling fan? WWE? Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, UFC.
Oh, the UFC, sure. Yeah. The Son and John Bones Jones fight this weekend. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, the Bones Jones.
He's wonderful. Me and Didier often watch him together.
Yeah, I'm into it. I didn't watch the fight live this weekend. A little pricey for my range. But, look, it's definitely exciting, man. And hopefully they get it in New York City soon if they could ever get over their differences there and get some UFC stuff in New York City. It's a shame they can't watch it there, you know?
Yeah. Didier and I often like to have a good old wrestle, if you know what I mean. Do you know any good techniques?
You know, I don't know much about the wrestling sport.
I'm a big fan of the rear naked chokehold.
The rear naked chokehold is definitely one of my favorites as well.
I like that. I like the ground and pound a little bit, you know, but I feel like I'm a big dude, but I'm not that strong, so I feel like I gotta go for submissions. I'm not much of a striker. I was a pitcher in college, so maybe I can get a good jab in once in a while. But I feel like I gotta play defense most of the time when I'm in the octagon.
Sorry, I'm often out after a few minutes, to be honest.
I hear you, brother.
Yeah, we're gonna stamina.
I mean, do you like NHL?
Yeah, we're about to get into some our NHL playoff preview, even though we're already a couple games in. We're going to break it down and see who's going to be this year's LA Kings. Do you have a favorite going into the first round?
I'm a bit open at the moment. I just follow it all in general, to be honest. But Didier and I love to knock our sticks together.
I didn't catch that. What'd you say there?
Didier and I.
Who's that? Diddy?
Didier.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, Yeah, no, yeah, we watched some hockey over here. We got, you know, we got the Rangers and Islanders in action here, which, you know, the Islanders, they got a strong, small but strong following.
People are psyched. The Islanders had their first nationally televised game in, like, 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a Devils fan, so you can imagine how depressed I am. They were on a tremendous slide towards the end of the season, and it's unfortunate because, you know, Marty Brodeur, I don't know how many games he has left in him. I was hoping to see him go on another playoff run, but I don't know who to go with now, honestly. You know, a lot of people are back in the blue shirts. They have a diehard core fan, but I think a lot of people are jumping on the Islander bandwagon. What do you think about the Islanders?
As I said, I'm pretty open about everything, to be honest, but I think they've got strong chances this season. As I was saying, Didier and I love to knock our sticks around, chasing the puck.
Yeah, well, that's a good time. Well, I appreciate the call. We're going to move forward here with some... we're breaking
up. Brian Bickle? Do you think his career is going to last much longer?
Who's this?
Brian Bickle.
I don't know who you're talking about. I don't know who this guy is. Brian Vickles?
Brian Pickle.
Babe Ruth? How about Babe Ruth? Do you like him?
Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
Yeah, we love him.
Yeah, big fans of him over here. All right, well, that's out there from the UK, the other side of the pond. I don't know. I get a sense he was maybe messing with us. But you know what? Hey, we got fans all over the world, apparently. So I like
it.
He seemed into it. He was a big Hafner fan. What do you want him to do?
We take all phone calls, right? Prank phone calls.
That was probably Travis Hafner.
It was probably, yeah. I got to tell you. Let's check and see if he's in the lineup tonight. Because he's probably
in the dugout, like, on his celly.
Yeah.
Going to call this sports show.
Well, yeah, Bobo made it on.
Yeah,
I can get it on. All right, well, now... Let's talk briefly here about the NBA because we've now killed about half of our show before we got into really anything. But you look at the Knicks right now. I believe they're down 6 points to the Celtics. And I was actually watching some of this game in Wilpon's box when they lost that game 4. And I still am not worried at all. I think most Knicks fans aren't worried at all. There's no way the Boston Celtics could rattle off 4 straight against the Knicks. I don't care what happens with J.R. Smith. Or, you know, I know Carmelo missed 25 shots in game 4, and it's not going to happen again. I mean, and it's, you know, there's no way that the Celtics have enough offense and have enough depth to be able to provide a 4-game winning streak against the Knicks. Even if they happen to pull this out, at least it'll be exciting going back to Boston. But am I missing something here? Is there a chance they could be the first team in NBA history to come back from a 3-0? Or is it, I mean, I put it at 0%.
I mean, if anyone can do it, it's Boston, right?
Boston strong. Oh, boy.
But, I mean, you know, game 4, you could see the Knicks really miss Smith. The shooting, Melo was off all game. The shooting in general was just off. And, you know, I think it's a must-win game for the Knicks. I don't know that you want to go back to Boston with it 3-2. I think that's...
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you... It would be interesting for them to lose. At least it would be interesting to watch. But then if they were to lose this game and go back to Boston, Boston would be going nuts. You know, and if Boston had send it back to New York, the pressure that would be on the New York Knicks after them cashing in the fact that they had won their first series and Knicks fans were all over. It's been 13 years, this and that. But so as a basketball fan and as a Knicks hater, it would be exciting for them to at least lose this game to get to that next game. I see them still. I don't care what the score is now. I think it was 56-50 last I looked up, but I think they win this game by double digits coming second half. I mean, they don't. You know, the Celtics are too old, and they don't have without a guy like Rondo out there. Well, any youth really in there to inject? I don't see them being able to put together 4 quarters.
Yeah, but I mean, this is what the Celtics do, right? People count them out. They count them down. You know, remember I said last year, you know, we thought they were down and out. There was no way that they would. End up facing the Heat, and they ended up pulling it out. So, you know, I think that the Knicks' mentality changed after they went up 3-0. You know, and they thought they could coast to a series sweep. They played mediocre in game 4. It looks like, you know, they've been caught off guard here in game 5. And, you know, they better start taking it seriously because, you know, this could slip away from them very easily. And you want to talk about, haven't been out of the first round in over a decade. How about no NBA team has come back from a 3-0 deficit?
And how
about that?
Boston beating New York, the last two teams. You know, I mean, it's happened in the NHL a couple times. Get back to that last caller. Who was he saying he was with? Didier? Who's he saying?
I think that's Diddy's new name now.
Didier, like, throw the puck around. I like that guy. I hope he's a weekly caller. He's as good as that guy from Massachusetts I want to call about the yoga mat. Probably the same fellow.
Probably.
But let's get to the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, the loss that they had on Saturday. Did you watch any of that game? Up 14 with 3:15 to go in the game. And
the Nets are one of the most frustrating teams to watch.
And I follow frustrating teams. I'm in the business.
You're Mr. Frustration.
I'm in the business of rooting for frustrating teams. It's like what I'm into. And I'm listening to that. It was a nice day, so I'm taking my daughter. I took my daughter to the park. We went to Toys R Us. So I'm listening to this game on XM, and it was actually the Chicago feed. So I'm getting like the Homer Chicago feed on it. And I'm following on my phone. I say they had the big lead, and I pick it up at about 2 minutes to go in the middle of Nate Robinson's just amazing run that he put on there, and listen to the last three, overtime periods. And I mean, again, nothing will ever surprise me with the Nets. It is amazing, and you look at Darren Williams. He had a great 3.5 quarters, and then just see ya. I'm good. I'll give you 3.5 quarters, and I'm out. I'm not going to try to score in overtime. I'm walking the ball up the court in overtime. It's like he just shuts it down. I mean, Evan Roberts went on a rant, which he should have gone in yesterday on his show, or Monday on his show, about, I mean, they're heartless and they're gutless. And they need a new coach. I know they're talking about Phil Jackson. There's not a chance in the world Phil Jackson is taking over this group. At this stage in his career, he has nothing to do but lose. And why would he want to come take over the Brooklyn Nets when he has no wiggle room under the cap to go get somebody? Here's what you got. You got Joe Johnson who disappears, Darren Williams who's overrated, Brooke Lopez who is a player, and then the rest of a bunch of, jokers out there.
Yeah. No, I feel you, but it sucks because you see the potential.
Yeah.
When they're clicking and they got the chemistry, I mean, it's, you wonder how the Bulls are even in this series, much less winning it.
Oh, yeah.
And then, I remember when we first previewed this series, I said, you have guys like Nate Robinson that can just go off. And he went off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's scary about that Bulls team is that, we looked at them and when we looked at that Bulls team, we were like, nah.
Yeah.
There's nothing really, stirring your pot. But then you take a deeper look and you're like, these guys are a bunch of scrappy villains, if you will.
Yeah.
You got Joakim Noah, you got Heinrich, you got Boozer. It's like all these guys, over the years, you develop this weird detest for them.
Yeah.
And like they somehow are able to congeal and bond and put together real quality efforts. I mean, these guys are putting their heart and soul out there. Nate Robinson. I mean, these are guys that are fired up and that, aren't going to be pushed around. And I don't get that sense from the Nets. I've watched the Nets players. I watch how they act. And the only guy that's given me any kind of, firepower or guts.
I hope you're going to say the guy I'm thinking of.
Reggie Evans.
Well, Reggie Evans, Andre Blatch. In game five, separated that game and put them out of reach. I mean, you got those two guys. And you think about as a Nets fan, those are the guys.
And Wallace showed a couple glimpses here and there.
Yeah, I mean, game one, he did some things. I mean, he's not – I don't know what happened to his offensive game, but it's gone. But he's not a guy – at least he hustles. He'll get the – he's as best as they have through a Tyson Chandler to keep a ball alive, dive into the crowd, that type of guy. At least he's giving you that, which makes me at least respect the guy. His game – went away from him like that. Now all of a sudden he's super old, like in a hurry.
Yeah.
I think he's 31 or 32. He's been in the league like 10 or so years. But his game went away like that, but he's a hustler. And at least I respect him for that. And it's hard to respect a guy like Darren Williams when you see like the exact opposite out of him. He's got all the talent in the prime of his career. And you need him to step up in a game as a must-win situation. And in game four, and he just decides he's done. He's tired and he's played too many minutes. And I'm just... It's a long way up the court, all the way from baseline to baseline. You know how long that is? It's like 96 feet.
He's just cherry picking the whole game.
Basket hanging. It's a point guard. That's all you got. But I will tell you this: the last, we'll get to the West quickly. But We got to move along. But I will tell you, everybody was, you know, and me included, was like, you know, I really want to get the Atlanta Hawks. I really want to get the Atlanta Hawks. And
the Hawks are sticking it to the Pacers.
The Hawks are over there battling it out, and there's a decent chance the Knicks are going to be playing the Hawks there. You know, and it's like nobody saw that coming. I mean, that was a foregone conclusion. And I was on the Pacers bandwagon early, and I'll be honest. I'm
a lot of people thought they would be facing the Heat in the conference finals.
Well, and I would have bet anything about it. I mean, if you, the one lock, I would say, these are the two best teams in the East. They're going to play each other, and, you know, the Knicks aren't going to match up well against the Pacers, this and that, but I'll tell you, these Hawks, I mean, how are they doing it? This is a team that, remember, they were going to trade Josh Smith because they just needed to start rebuilding, and they're like, no, it's okay. We're just going to go out and win the first round of the playoffs against the Indiana Pacers on the road. That's insane. I mean, they went out and they won their home court, and they're making it a series, which I don't think Indiana was really prepared to get into. I think they thought they were going to coast to a five-game series here, and so I don't know. It'd be interesting. Then you get out west, you know, obviously – to break Tony's heart, the news of the Westbrook injury comes down to tearing his meniscus. And, you know, the Thunder still take care of business. Spurs take care of business. You look at the other two series, and they're just dogfights, you know. Clippers and Memphis, and then the tenacity of the other series, Golden State and Denver. I mean, these teams hate each other.
Boy,
that is
shoot out here in Golden State. Oh, boy.
They can shoot. You got, you know, Mark Jackson just talking about that there's, like, basically a hit out on Steph Curry.
Steph Curry
trying
to... He's
got inside information that there's a hit out on him.
Yeah, Steph Curry trying to fight fans.
Yeah. I mean, that is just... I mean, we knew that was going to be an exciting season. We said...
I didn't know it was going to be that good. I
didn't know it was going to be that... I thought it was going to be a super up-tempo.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was going to be as physical as it is.
They have, like, gold outs out there.
Yeah. You got Fareed out there. Just, yeah. I mean, he is an assassin.
Yeah, he got hit in the throat the one play. I mean, this is like no holds barred prison ball we're playing.
And that don't happen out in the West.
Yeah.
But now they are... That's... The West is becoming, you know, the East of the late 90s, where you got teams like Memphis that are just grimy, and you got this series going on. I can't possibly predict how the West is going to go at this point. I mean, Tony, how confident with Oklahoma City? Granted, here's the only thing I will say, it will give you a saving grace, bright side thing. There has always been this kind of thing hanging over the Thunder that Durant's got to be the man, and he defers too much to Westbrook. And that Westbrook takes too many shots, and when they lose, and that's been my critique of them, and I think Westbrook is as talented as anybody in the league.
Yeah.
But my critique is at times you got a guy like as a most efficient scorer this side of LeBron James and Kevin Durant, and he defers the ball at the end of the game. Now he ain't deferring the ball to Serge Ibaka.
No.
So it's going to be him, and is that kind of a good thing?
I mean, yes, I it is a good thing, but no chance that they. They win, even if they make it to the NBA Finals, there's no chance they beat the Heat or whoever's, but the Heat's there.
They're
beat the Heat.
But is it, would this, like, just solidify his legacy? If he could take this team to the Finals?
I mean, they're talented. They got a lot of, and they got a lot of, they got a lot of good players. The guy, who is Reggie, whatever his name is, the backup point guard.
Yeah.
He's decent, too. I mean, it would definitely do something for his legacy to bring this team to the finals, but they have no chance.
The world will be behind them.
They will.
They get to the finals. The world is behind them, I think, now. I mean, there's the old-time basketball fans that like the Spurs because of the way they play ball and they conduct themselves.
I honestly don't think they're going to make it to the finals.
Yeah.
They don't have enough without Westbrook. As much as Westbrook makes, I think he makes terrible decisions with the ball. And when he should be giving it to Durant, he's shooting or he's, you know, turning it over, he's dribbling off his foot. But
he's as electric as there is.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the NBA.
Yeah,
he's what Nate Robinson is, but 6-8 inches taller, whatever he is, you know what I mean? And he jumps through the roof. So
I mean, it sucks. Like it literally has taken like all the fun out of my playoff basketball. Like,
well, let's see what Travis Hafner to root for.
I don't even have any interest in watching it because I know they have no shot.
All right.
Well, I thought, okay, this is where losing Harden was going to hurt the Thunder. And then I actually watched a good portion of the Rockets-Thunder game, and I was like, Harden is the worst.
Ever since the finals last year, the guy's been, like, lost.
But there were times during this season where he was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he is.
But, I mean,
clearly, I don't know if in a clutch spot, I don't know that you won.
No. Definitely not.
I watched him in a, like a 10-minute span. I watched him dribble directly into three defenders and just like throw the ball underhand into their guts.
He's all about the Euro step, and that doesn't work every time.
Point shaving, point shaving. Yeah. I gotta look at Scandal with the beard. He's got betting slips up his
maybe
beard.
Maybe that's the problem. Is maybe it's time to take that thing down a half inch.
Come put on. An Arelco to that bitch. All right. Well, can we get into some NFL draft now?
Sure.
We've talked a little bit about the Jets, so we'll just finish up our Jets talk, and then we'll get to your two teams. Were you surprised that they went, and we talked about the sports banter's pick, and he was close to getting them both right. He said Milliner, and he said Jarvis Jones.
Yeah.
And he was close to getting them right, and I said, and I respect his opinion, and he was clearly half right, more right than I was. I still thought they needed to go out and go offensive line, and they wound up thinking maybe, I don't pretend to be able to scout collegiate offensive lineman. I go by the fact that this guy Wormack was supposed to be step in and be a starting guard for the next 10 years, and they passed on him. He obviously went in the very next pick. What do you think about the Jets? I know there's a lot of talk of, well, this still shows that Rex Ryan is pulling all the strings by going back-to-back defensive players. And I specifically said I didn't want Milliner.
Yeah.
And I specifically said I didn't want Geno Smith. They got two of the three
early.
So,
yeah. I'm not even a Jets fan, and I was angry. I mean, and I don't understand how anyone could be a Jets fan because they have, historically, they are the worst drafting team in NFL history. And that's not even debatable. And the fact that
NFL history.
The fact that we were like, we sat here last week and we're like, and when I called in, I said, there's no way that you go out and you draft a corner. I don't care how good D. Milliner is because he's not going to be Revis. And even if he is Revis, he can't score enough points to win you games. You need to score points.
Right.
And I said, and they need to get an offensive lineman. They need an offensive weapon. They need an offensive lineman. Now, obviously, they got usurped because the Rams traded up to get Tavon Austin. That was a real blow.
Yeah.
That was a real blow. So they didn't get Austin.
But I'll be honest. I don't know that he would have been what the Jets needed. A short, quick guy. I mean, I didn't need a
guy. The guy holds the Big 12 record for rushing yards. He's a wide receiver in a game.
Okay, well, look,
the guy's explosive.
Like, I think he's in a good spot where he is. I think he is going to be successful. I don't know that he would have been as successful as Jet. I agree that they could have gotten it. I just don't think it's like that. I have Jet fans that are, like, devastated that they didn't get him. I don't think that he, like, you know, I think that he works as an ancillary part. I don't think he could be your number one wide receiver, and he would have been asked.
But But my point is they weren't going to get a number one wide receiver.
How many short, quick wide receivers can they have on their team at one time?
Yeah.
They're going to have Santonio Holmes, Jeremy Curley, and then this guy. I mean, they don't have a guy over
there. Like a bunch of short people.
I like
now,
that.
Time out. The Rams was the greatest show on turf.
Yeah.
How tall was their tallest wide receiver?
I bet you both those guys were 6 feet. Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt were 6 feet.
6 feet? That's not like they're not getting you goal line.
Jeremy Curley's like 5'6". He's like
Isaac Bruce is 6 feet.
Yeah. I mean, so here's what I have to say. We talked about it last week that the Giants, the key to the Giants, is they never draft by need. It's always our best player on the board. So the Jets kind of made this excuse that we went with the best player on the board with these picks. But the way I'm stepping back and looking at it, they're saying we lost Darrell Revis, we replaced him with a rookie. We lost Mike DeVito at defensive tackle, we replaced him with a rookie. And now we know that we don't have anything in Mark Sanchez, we replaced him with a rookie. So here's what they did with their team from last year, which was very bad. They lost their two safeties. They lost a corner who was only there for the first half of the year. And then they have a quarterback who's no longer really going to be part of their offense moving forward. And then they replaced them with three rookies. It's like, doesn't it seem, even though they said they didn't do it, here's three impactful players that we lost. And I'm saying Mark Sanchez is impactful because they needed a quarterback.
Yep.
And they just and even though they're saying they didn't draft by need, it seems like they did, right?
Listen, I was at the field tonight playing softball, and there was Ant Giggs loved the pick, and there was a couple of people that hated it. I personally like it. I don't see a problem with taking them. I mean, now they have five quarterbacks on the team that really can't do anything.
Yeah.
But it's like, why not? I mean, what the hell? I don't think they want to go another year with Mark Sanchez.
Well, look, that's why I don't think it's the worst thing in the world.
No,
because if it doesn't work out, they haven't invested a million picks in him, and they haven't invested a million years with this guy. I mean, look, if he doesn't work out, and they do, I do think you have to find out what you have in him.
Yeah.
At this point, it's not like he's a project like your boy Ryan Nassib, where they could actually use him. That's why that was a value pick. That's a typical Giants pick, where you get Ryan Nassib.
I can't believe he fell that far.
I have a good friend who's a huge college football fan, Paco from Norwalk, who's on the show a lot, who he said, I want the Jets to take Austin at 9 and Nassib at 13. And that's how high he thought of him. And he's watched a lot of Syracuse football. He's the best quarterback in the draft. And he falls to the New York Giants. And there is not a doubt that it probably won't be as a Giant. What will happen is this guy will learn under Eli. He'll maybe
get trade bait, for sure.
And they will get a nice second-round pick for him who they'll use on some stud guy who'll be great.
So that's happy he's not a Buffalo Bill.
yeah, you know that coming. Well, let me ask you, before we get to the Giants, let's get to the Bills. So the Bills kind of shocked the world with their pick.
I think it was very smart what they did. I mean, they traded out of the 8 and the 9 spot. They traded back.
They got a quarterback. Yep. And then they got Cobb, so they don't have to start him.
Yep.
Which I think is smart.
I like it. I think they had a good draft. I mean,
what does it show you about a guy who coached Nassib? Didn't want him. They had a chance to get him.
What do you think that guy feels like? I mean, that was
probably... It's almost like, Matt Flynn, you think everybody, Idzik saw Matt Flynn. Why didn't the Jets go get him? But it's like Idzik saw him firsthand out in Seattle. He didn't want him. So, look, that's why I don't think it's a crazy pick, because this guy could evaluate Ryan Nassib better than anybody in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy saw him intimately for years and years. This guy's got to be pretty good.
I guess they had I was reading just now, they have Doug Marrone. They had E.J. Manuel, was worked out for them in like a thunderstorm, windy situation, and, throw the ball great in the bad weather, and that's what kind of led them
versus
to...
Versus you got Nassib, who played in the Carrier Dome, he's in career. And that, especially with the Giants, that's going to matter, because you have to play in the winds of the Meadowlands. So it'll be... interesting to see how he deals with that.
But then again, you had Eli Manning play at Ole Miss.
He doesn't even throw spirals, and he can do it. He doesn't know how to throw a spiral with a football, and he's the best quarterback that ever lived, according to Giants fans.
Yeah, two trophies.
I know. He's the best.
Two MVPs.
He's the best that ever won. MVPs. Super Bowl MVPs.
Yeah.
He won no regular season MVPs.
Yeah, regular seasons are pointless.
Not with no 25 interceptions. My Manning won any of those. So let's get to the football Giants. Were you excited about, and in typical Giants fashion, this guy Pugh, who everybody liked before the combine, and then all of a sudden, this guy's arms are too short.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, his arms didn't test out at the right thing.
Yeah.
And all these other stupid teams are like, we can't draft him. His arms aren't long enough.
Keep in mind, his arms are short by maybe like an inch.
Yeah, not like this guy. It's Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah.
This guy has arms,
usable
arms.
Yeah.
And the Giants are just like, okay, well, we'll just take him then.
Yeah.
For the 18th pick, and he'll be great. He'll be a starter for them at some point.
Well,
he's able
to
play all three offensive line positions.
They did that. If you look at pretty much all their picks, there was like one negative that crushed each of their picks. And outside of those one negatives, they're really good ball players.
Yeah.
Like I think it was Moore was projected. DeMontre Moore is a defensive end from Texas A&M. He was projected to go first round, possibly top 10. He runs a 4.95 40 at the combine. Everyone's like, no, thank you, sir.
Yep.
He got arrested once in 2011 for marijuana possession. People are like, oh, I can't have that on my football team, because God knows we're clean as a, like, whatever. And so, like, that happens with each of these draft picks.
Yeah, and then Nassib falls to the point when they're like, okay, we will take a guy here in the fourth round, or it was fourth round, right?
Yeah, fourth round.
And you say, okay, we have one of the better quarterbacks in the league, one of the better backup quarterbacks in the league in David Carr, and we'll take him, and maybe he'll work out, maybe he won't. It's a fourth round pick. Hopefully we can get something for him. And, I mean, the Giants drafted him with the whole hope that he'll never take a snap as a Giant, because that will mean something happened to Eli Manning.
Yeah.
But he could turn into something better than whatever they could have gotten in the fourth round, and that's what the Giants do. And that's why I said, I can't project what they're going to do. The only thing I can project is a good draft, and they had a good draft.
Yeah.
You knew they were going to take defensive linemen. Of course they did.
Yeah, and I think Hankins is going to come in, and he's going to see some significant time. Hopefully he can stay healthy. I really like Michael Cox.
Fair enough.
You do.
I'm sure Abner from London likes him too.
Mike Cox?
Yeah.
He's a good guy. And I feel like that's a steal when they got him. I mean, he's a big guy, 6 foot, 220-something.
I think he'll complement David Wilson very well. He was, I think he was at Michigan. He transferred to UMass, but here comes another UMass player. You had, you have Victor Cruz, who was UMass.
Young Wales.
You got Young Wales. Respect. Shout out.
Yep. And then, yeah, I mean, you got a guy who I haven't watched all the film on Mike Cox. I've never seen him cry. So that's good. It's like, you know, like the
Thunder and Lightning, right? Now you got Waterworks in the desert or something like that.
Mr.
Sandman.
Sandman. We're calling this guy Sandman. No, but that's what I mean. That's what they do. I'm sure this guy will be good. You could draft running back.
At that draft and I say they did both. They got needs and they got quality.
Mm-hmm.
And it was and their definition of quality is it goes based on the eye test, right? But it also goes based on the fact that people for one reason or another, these war rooms, they look at some kind of minor misstep and it's like completely fall off the radar.
Yeah.
And that's insane to me. And listening to Jerry Reese talk on the various radio shows, the guy knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just surprising. And he's like every interview he was like, I was shocked to get Nassib. I was shocked to get Michael Cox. Like these players, they're seeing something in them and they're going to come out looking good. Meanwhile, you got the Jets with like, what's going on, dude?
They said they got two of their top four players on the board in the whole draft in 9-13. That seems surprising to me that this defensive tackle from Missouri was one of the top four players in the draft.
Yeah, and you asked if Rex Ryan is still pulling the strings. Yeah, he definitely is. And here's my take on it. Rex knows his time is dwindling. He knows that he probably has maybe a year left. Right? And so he's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get stacked on defense and have the best defense in the league so that when I get canned, I'm getting a defensive coordinator job out of the back.
But the only thing I can say, I agree with it to the fact that I understand he was pushing for Geno Smith because that gives him like a get-out-of-jail-free card. If Geno Smith comes in and shows some glimpses but they don't win games, they can't fire him on this. They had a rookie quarterback. But if he really wanted – if he was really pulling the strings, why did they let both safeties go? If he wanted a stud defense, they could have had a defense that, and they could have afforded them with the restructuring and some of the different things they did. They could have afforded Bell and Landry, and they let both of them go. So I know that that's like a popular thing to say. I don't believe that he was pulling the strings with this, because if he was, he would have fought tooth and nail to not let Revis go, and he would have, which he might have been, and I'm sure he was, but and he wouldn't have let him go and both safeties walk. Because how could, I mean, that would have been at least you have one of the best secondaries. Those four guys in the secondary is one of the best secondaries in the whole league. Now you got a rookie.
Yeah, but you're
not
going to.
You got Chrome and you got two safeties. We have yet to find out who they are yet.
You're not, I'm sorry, you're not going to win. You're not going to win championships like the 2000 Baltimore Ravens anymore, where you're giving up 6 and 9 points a game.
I
don't think you're going
to
win that way.
He wants to get a stud defense so he can get another job. He really wanted that. He would have wanted the defense would have been better if they had kept those safeties in Revis than they would have by drafting a D tackle in the corner. So if he was really pulling the strings, then he's really dumb. If he thinks that a rookie corner and some D tackle from Missouri is going to be better than keeping that core four in their secondary. In my opinion, IMHO. All right, well, let's move away from the draft. The draft is exciting to watch. It was, you know, day two was more exciting than day one. But let's move on to Duty You Serious. You got some goodies for us?
They got a couple.
We are really up against the clock. The top 10 and our NHL breakdown might have to go into bonus time.
The NHL breakdown definitely is key.
I can't wait. I'm telling you, the 4-5 series out west. It's going to be something for the ages, dude. For the ages. Now, what do you got?
Do you remember Chris Gatling at all?
Sure, I do. From the Warriors,
former NBA player, first round pick.
Mm-hmm.
He's facing criminal charges for squatting in a house in Arizona for pretty much a year, a little over a year.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, he liked it. He liked the place.
Yeah. So I mean, you're a pro squatter.
Yeah.
Okay.
It happened in the Simpsons. Those carnies squatted at Homer's house. They boarded it up, if you recall. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the guy liked the digs.
Yeah, but come on. He made a...
So what happened exactly? So this guy found a house on Craigslist or something, right?
Yeah.
And then
he eventually tried to rent the house on Craigslist.
Yeah. And then he tried to re-rent it.
And they tried to re-rent it. It was a four-bedroom house for rent for $800. Called it the ex-NBA home online. Yeah.
Oh, Chris Gatling. Yeah. Times are tough for these guys. I mean, can you imagine if you had, at any point in your life, $30 million?
I would immediately build a bunker and just stay in the bunker until I got all these bad thoughts out of my head.
Yeah. No, immediately.
With a financial advisor and say, I want you to take everything and make the smartest investments possible. Here, save $1 million for a little spending money.
If I was making a contract, this is probably going to happen in our lifetime because we're really moving and shaking here. We got callers calling in from the other side
the
of the
UK.
Pond.
We're international now.
With a horrible fake English accent, I got to be honest. You heard my...
I think it was Bobo.
You heard my Rosie Perez accent. You know I could do voices.
Yeah.
But I would say if I was making $3 million a year, I would say $1 million. Every time I got a paycheck, I would take a third of it, give it to somebody, and put it into an annuity that I can't touch.
Right.
I can't touch.
Absolutely.
So at least if I was like, and then I could just start living off of that at some point.
Yeah.
Like I can't touch it, but I could live off the interest of it.
I'm
a CD.
Yeah.
It's some sort of interest bearing thing where I could live off of that interest.
I won money off Super Bowl boxes and I blew it all that night at a bar.
So you would beat Chris Gatling. Act like you're high and mighty.
I'm not acting high and mighty. I'm just saying like I'm learning a little bit. I see these guys. And I know that if I ever hit $1 million, that I gotta okay.
Just dial it back. Just put it into like
maybe
third
invest
gear.
In a kegerator, not go out.
Somewhere. Yeah, spend all your money in a bar in your basement. Maybe that's a great investment. Really good return I've gotten on that. All right, what else you got?
All right, there was a draft pick. This guy Ezekiel Ansah.
Yeah, from BYU. Sure,
BYU.
Guy people loved.
He wore 3D movie glasses to the draft with no lenses in him.
I hate that trend. We've talked about that.
But Tony's
whole team does that. Don't gag like that. That's your whole team wears backpacks and glasses.
That's all because of Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, they all think it's so cool and it's so ironic.
So do you think he's poking fun at these guys or do you think he's like, this is him trying to make a statement?
No, it's him thinking he's cool. Look at the BYU dude. He signed that same pledge that, that all of them did.
No sex, right?
Yeah, they don't play around out there.
That's horrible.
Yeah, so he's got the 3D glasses. He saw a lot of 3D glasses. He had nothing else to do on the weekends. What else you got?
Chad Johnson adopted a homeless man named Porkchop.
You follow Chad Johnson on Twitter?
Chad needs to get a life.
Listen.
He's a loser.
I love him.
He's a floozer.
Here's what he did. Some lady tweeted about, can I get a retweet? I live in Boston, and you know it's been a tough couple weeks. My mom's just died, or whatever. He was like, how would you like to come down to Miami? And he flew this lady down, and they took pictures down to Miami, her and her sister or something.
But see, this is Chad Johnson. Chad Johnson doesn't wild out the club and ball out.
He doesn't even drink.
He plays video games and adopts homeless men and just invites
random
fans.
He wants to take 250 people to a Real Madrid game out in Spain. He's like, I'm going to make this happen.
Yeah.
Who are my football fans? My European football fans out there. So
you're saying get a life.
That's what life is, man. He didn't blow all his money on squatting in a house.
Oh, believe me, he will.
Boy, he will. Flying people down to Miami and going.
That guy, he probably sits home all day wondering why he's not playing football anymore.
He says he's in the best shape of his life. He said he has 0% body fat.
Get back on that reality show, please.
I think he's really making things. I love Chad Johnson. Love him. Everything about Chad Johnson I love.
Barry Bonds has a baseball card. That is it's Say No to Drugs baseball card.
And you write it on there or the card says it?
I believe it says Say No to Drugs, Barry Bonds.
Avoid the clap, Jimmy Dugan.
it's now on sale, 100 large on eBay.
Chris Gatling's got a bid on it.
He's like, I'm going to flip this baseball card and turn my life around.
Ex-NBA player's card. Oh, Baroid. Still should be a Hall of Famer, no doubt. The best player I've ever seen.
The Toledo Mud Hens, a minor league baseball team, they have Chewbacca jerseys. Have you seen these?
I have not caught the Toledo. I used to have a Toledo Metahead fitted hat. I thought it was...
I used to be all eighth grade. I used to buy up all the minor league baseball hats.
They were hit.
It was just cool.
At Liz, I go into Liz and get a nice So I spent my money.
This is a little excessive.
I would not. I mean, that's something that they think they're going to be able to resell in the thing.
I don't know. I mean, first of all, the strand. Like, I don't know. The strands of hair are a little bit.
That
too
does
thick.
Not. I don't. He's got his dark hair is a lot darker than that.
Yeah, it's a lot darker. It looks like Chewbacca with highlights right here.
Yeah, he did. It's Chewbacca.
The Jersey Shore Chewbacca.
Like 2001 when everybody had the highlights.
Yeah, like Eminem was on the scene.
Yeah, exactly. That's Shady's influence. Yeah,
but I got an order on it. We're all gonna wear it next week at the show.
100%.
I mean, this has been going around. It's not real, but I just think it's hilarious. Mario Balotelli, he's a soccer player.
Out at AC Milan.
Real Madrid.
He's Real Madrid then. Okay. I thought he was from Italy, though.
You got to brush up on your...
I want to get... If I want to be one of the 250 out there with my dude. All right. So, okay. So, I heard this story.
Oh, maybe he does. Who did you say he plays for?
AC Milan, I thought he played for.
Oh, probably. I don't know.
Oh.
You're over here calling me. I just take a shot at him.
How many shots him in? This dude plays for AC Milan.
So, yeah, they're playing Real Madrid.
So he definitely does not play for them. The only thing we know is he doesn't play for them.
Yeah, he does not play for Real Madrid. Yeah. But he said that, allegedly he said that Real Madrid players could sleep with his girlfriend if they come back. Against his team, the Borussia Dortmund.
That's the team. That's what I meant. That's the. It's another name for AC Milan.
Oh, yeah, totally. That's the German translation coming through.
Yeah, but I think it was proven to be false.
It's proven to be false, but at the same time, we criticize soccer players all the time for being gigantic, quivering clams. Soccer players get the hottest girls.
Oh, yeah. Well, because European girls are attractive.
Yeah.
And, like, South American girls are the best, and they all play soccer down there.
Like, Ronaldo, he's like, cheating on our Irina Shayk with the winner of the Miss Bum Bum competition in Brazil.
Did you see that chick?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Where do you guys go on? Like, I don't know wow. Anything you just said about Miss Bum Bum or whatever.
Dude.
Who's the other one? Is she a famous person that he's
Irina Shayk?
Yeah, who's that?
She was on the SI swimsuit issue cover before Kate Upton, the one right before Kate Upton.
BK. I
believe she's Russian, possibly. Beautiful woman.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, I'd rather go for this butt cheeks over here.
Yeah, she won a competition.
She did win a competition.
She got a trophy, dude.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, maybe he's a butt guy. I get it, you know?
That's what your dude J.R. Smith is.
But
there you go.
The weird thing is that he probably cheated on Shayk, and she probably is so turned on by it.
Oh, yeah, they like that.
She's probably going to get butt implants now.
She probably liked this girl here.
She probably acted offended, but then she went on like...
She tweeted it out.
She had her brunch with her girlfriend.
Yeah.
She was like, oh, God.
That's like, yeah. She liked, they liked
She's
that.
All
they,
about
they,
it.
You know, girls like the bad guys deal. That's your problem. You're a nice guy. Got to find you in a situation where you're the jerk. That's going to happen. You got anything else? Are we going over to say what, or what do we got?
I mean, I have a bunch more, but I feel like I'll go with this. Josh Hamilton gives weird autographs.
I saw this one. This is a great story. Joe Josh. He's a weird cat. He's got to start swinging the bat a little bit. Meanwhile, the Knicks are down 10, 6 minutes to go in the fourth. They only have 65 points. Iman Shumpert just got an offensive foul. What do we got?
She didn't play.
Josh Hamilton, apparently, you know, they toss him a ball. He signs the ball. He sends it back up to the fans, and we get a little bit of this.
He's like, I'm so drunk.
Yeah, I'm so high on meth right now.
Man, drugs are awesome.
Your hair is awesome, but, you know,
yep.
Complimentary, very nice.
I got that ball.
Yeah, obviously. To Mike D, your hair is awesome.
Thanks, Josh. Thanks, J-Ham.
Love drugs.
Yep.
Jesus loves you. Love him! !
Capital H.
Josh
he deserves
Hamilton.
It. Guy died for your sins. He deserves a capital letter. What else you got?
We come to Christ as we are, and he is responsible for cleaning us up! ! We trust he cleans! !
I like the fact that he's like... has no rhyme or reason when he does capital letters. Like, sometimes he's into the
guy hair.
Letters.
Well, because it's like holy hair. So
somebody
gave him
that. Some of it's all caps.
He wrote that on the spot.
Yeah. He just,
I would have spit on that ball and threw right back at him.
Are you kidding
me?
Yeah, and he even has, like, he even does quotes from the Bible here. He's got, like,
I asked for your autograph. I asked for a scripture.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you. I can never resell this. He probably does it so they can't resell it. You know, because he's got a lot of these autograph people who are just looking to sell.
You don't think there are Jesus freaks around the world that would love to have Your Hair Is Awesome with the H capitalized?
Probably Tim
Josh Boy. Hamilton?
Well, I mean, that would probably do better on eBay than the other ones.
Come his bum on, by the way. Oh, Lord.
Is that all you got to do to you, serious?
I got one more thing. It's real quick. You'll see it for 2 seconds, and you'll appreciate it. No one at home can see it,
if it's
so that's
the
why
snake
it's great.
Bite or that plane crash.
Troy Whiskey's mullet.
Oh, boy.
Holy
where did he grow up?
Hell.
He's not even that old. Like, he's only, like, 26, right?
Yeah, he's a young dude.
I mean, that was, like, he didn't grow up in 84.
No, that's him at 8.
I would
Tim at 8, so that's, like, in the mid-90s, probably.
That might be early mid-90s, yeah.
Wow.
No, that's mid-90s, yeah.
Yeah,
it could be mid-90s.
So that's
not a cool.
Like, if you or I, we were all, three of us were born in 1980.
Yeah.
There's a chance you've got a third-grade picture with a mullet.
91, 92, yeah, I was 11 or 12. Probably throwing a flat top in there with a little in the back.
A little something with a party, but Troy to the Whiskey's younger than us. I don't think that's him. It doesn't even look like him. Troy. Troy's got to stay healthy. I'll tell you, that guy, everybody loves him in fantasy baseball. That guy never stays healthy. He's got like 130 home run season. Everybody wants to draft him in the first round. Tony D, you got some say what's for us, buddy. You got 9 minutes, and then we're going to get to some bonus time.
I got a couple. So the NFL says, as a report, says HGH is increasing in the NFL. Shocker. Says they ban it, but they have no test in place.
Because you got a blood test, and that's right.
So that's on the rise. It's like clockwork nowadays.
Yeah.
Not tested, and it's easy to get. Nowadays, dude, in 2013, yeah, I'm just being real. That's an unnamed NFC starter.
Yeah, I'm sure, dude. Sure, and I know people that have taken HGH.
It's the NFC, man. It's just cheaters.
That's not a real conference. AFC, since the merger, the ANC has really taken over. But I will tell you this. I know people that have done steroids, and I know people that have done HGH, personal friends of mine. I know this people that have taken steroids have told me the crazy side effects.
Yep.
This is not an endorsement of HGH. The people I've talked to that have taken HGH have not reported any side effects. They haven't had rages. They said that all it is like your energy level is crazy high.
Yeah.
There's no shrinking. There's no
There's been no back knee. All this stuff. I mean, I know the whole thing with Barry Bonds, his head grew and all that. Maybe that's the case. But it is really expensive. So it's not like something you could just be like, yeah, I'm just going to do a quick cycle.
Yeah.
It's thousands of dollars to do a cycle. But I know people have done it. And they said it's like you feel like you're taking like a five-hour energy. Like every day you're just like. And it doesn't put you in a crazy roid rage state. It puts you in like a very, you know, energetic state to go out and work out. You don't feel sore the next day.
Start Googling.
We got to hope that some of this TSG money starts rolling in.
We need a sponsor. It'll be good.
Yeah, if any HGH guys out there want to sponsor Tri-State Sports Guys.
Call in.
Maybe our friend over – it might be legal over in England. Maybe our boy Abner can call up. The big wrestling fan. Then he goes, no, I mean UFC. The guy says
he called the baseball field the pitch. By the way,
he sure did. Yeah. He sure did, and he just said it was a lovely swing. What else you got?
How about the Atlanta Falcons are going to put in for a more interactive experience? They're going to put in vibrating seats,
rumble seats,
seats. So when there's a big hit in the game, you're going to
feel it.
What do you think about that?
I love it.
It was like the N64. You could add that little attachment on the bottom, and it would rumble when you got tackled.
I love
that. Would get so old, so quick.
Yeah? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. It'd be awesome the first time.
I would take dates. I'd start taking dates, to tell you that much.
Girls might like it a lot more, but I will tell you this. Maybe because you're a Giants fan and the hits tend to be, like, you know, projected by a Giants player. When you are a Jets fan, sitting in the fourth quarter trying to muscle your way through a 31-17 loss, and it's Mark Sanchez.
Wake you up.
Yeah. Mark Sanchez is getting rocked, and you're just there going, I will tell you that right now.
Beer spilling out of the cup holder.
Well, exactly. Yeah, you just dropped 12 spot on a beer, and that thing's spilling out. Yeah, that'll get old in a hurry. But Atlanta, they got to smart things up.
Yeah.
Atlanta, they don't sit in their seats too long out there in Hotlanta.
No.
They'd be dirty birding all down the aisles. What else you got?
Can I just say, Sidney Crosby, I hate him. He needs to grow a pair of balls. My first is he's out 10 years with a concussion. And he got NFL.
Poe said it. One of his bold predictions, the first thing, he would never play another NHL game.
I mean, you got guys in the NFL getting concussions, and they're going off the field and coming back in a play. And this guy, he's, you know, doesn't come on ice for a year.
Yeah.
Now he's not sitting out game one because he hasn't sufficiently recovered from his broken jaw.
Yeah, I can't get it. I can't get on board that bandwagon. I don't know why he's such a popular dude.
He's a wimp.
He's not a tough dude. Like, you look at Ovechkin,
mm-hmm.
he just looks like a hockey player. You know, and he just seems like, if I had to go, because it used to be for a while when they were trying to build more popularity in the NHL, it would always be Ovechkin versus Crosby.
Yeah, that was the matchup. That's in a year, really, when they were really both at the top of their game
right.
at the same time.
I'm going to side with Ovechkin. I know he's a mama's boy, but at least, like, he tries to play through stuff.
And you hate America, is what you're saying to me out loud.
That I'm a terrorist?
Yeah.
I love him, man.
We're going to get more into Sidney Crosby in our NHL breakdown.
Westboro Baptist Church is going to protest the Nets-Bulls game. Shocker.
Oh, boy.
Shocker. I mean,
what?
Really?
What? Westboro Baptist Church.
Why?
Is the all-time worst group of human beings.
Why are they protesting the Nets-Bulls game?
Because Jason Collins played for the Nets.
He was a wizard the last
time.
Well,
last time, but he really made his bones there as a Net.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
New Jersey.
His best stretch of his career is a Net and a Hawk, and they don't want to go to Atlanta with the vibrating seats. That's got to break some sort of biblical scripture.
That's a sin.
I love Amanda Bynes.
How do you love Amanda Bynes?
Look at these pictures.
She's
just
horrible.
She's, first of all,
she doesn't look good.
No, not anymore.
So why do you love her?
Because look what she tweets. She's like, rawr.
I know. Well, I know. She's insane, dude.
Come
but
rawr.
You can follow a lot of people on Twitter and get that same rawr thing.
You think so?
I don't know.
Like, this twisted? Yes. I don't know, man. This is great. This is good stuff.
I hope I run into her on the street because
some of these pictures. Look at this.
Yeah, she's crazy. I refuse to follow her, dude, because now
what is she?
I am stuck watching Disney Channel all the time with my daughter, and I don't ever want to think that the little Fresh Beat band or something like that on Nick Jr. is going to turn into Amanda Bynes.
Is she is she winking in that picture? What is that? It looks like her.
I don't know, like the Natty Bow cans. You ever see those?
Look at this. I love it. It's so entertaining.
She's like 27 now, isn't she?
Yeah, I mean, she is. She's fell off hard.
I would still hook up with her in a heartbeat. I might not survive.
I wouldn't even hesitate.
If I was single.
The way to go out on top.
On top of.
On her.
Her. On top of her.
No.
What about this? You want to do this?
Yes, I do want to do this. Just read the title.
Okay.
And we'll get into it.
Okay, this is the article.
Ear Buffet for the little kids at home.
Off Deadspin. I'm not even going to ear Buffet. Punk ass snitches who ratted out Tiger Woods have been identified.
And so the first guy is some guy we never heard of.
Some golfer.
Some senior tour golfer is the one that called up. We all said, like, who called up the tournament folks and said that there was a violation.
Yep.
But then that didn't really get it done. That was just like, here's what happened, and they said, okay, we didn't see enough. But who was the official snitch?
Oh, and I used to like him.
How do you like this guy?
I mean, I would not really like him. I didn't have a problem with him, but Jim Nance.
Jimmy.
Hello, friends.
Superfly Nance.
Like, really?
Hello, friends.
What the hell?
This guy. How could you do that? He should be fired.
Yeah.
He should be. If he wasn't Jim Nance, he'd
be fired.
How are you impacting? How are you making a call on that type of thing? You're supposed to be an objective commentator in the thing. Like, you should not be in. Even if you saw a gross violation, you can't possibly be impacting the Masters when you are the face of the Masters. How does he have a job, Neil?
Unbelievable. Are you sure it's him? Because this is saying that this dude, David Eager,
he was the guy who first called up. So he called up and noticed it on the spot, the infraction.
Right.
And they cleared that. They cleared him of that. And he started texting other people. And then in the post-conference interview, you know, the post-game, post-round interview when Tiger Woods incriminated himself, even after that, nobody was going to penalize him. And Jim Nance called up the officials and said, did you hear what Tiger Woods just said? He admitted to cheating. I'm a rat. That's my rat impression. I could do two things. Rosie Perez and
a rat. It's too, because I wake up every day hating myself, and then that Jim Nance commercial comes on and goes, hey,
difference, and I'm like, ah, oh, man.
Yeah.
It's not so bad after all.
Yeah, you're right. It's like Dido singing too. It's not so bad. It's not so bad. All right, well, we got a minute left, so we're going to kind of close the show. We're going to come back with our top 10 and our riveting NHL breakdown. we really... Tonight we had Matt, we had Abner from across the pond, we had Bobo. You can check us out on tristatesportsguys.com at tristate_sports and facebook.com/tristatesportsguys.
Wow.
All of those things you can check us out. Our likes on Facebook are exploding. We're up at like 550 right now.
Yeah.
So something's happening. There's like a movement going on. I think that people are on board with us that we're going to be soon doing Met games.
Yeah.
Screw you, Gary Cohn. You're very good, but we're really moving in on your turf, and you know, we're really moving up in the world. This is a very good show. We've had a couple of not good shows back to back.
Okay.
But we came back. It's like we came back from a 2-0 deficit, and we came back, and we're like, okay, no, we're going to come out and put together a great show.
Oh, we did it.
We did it. So check us out. For you guys listening live, check us out next week. We are moving to bonus time now. We are in bonus time.
It's bonus time.
Now we got... Now,
take the earmuffs off, kids.
The pants are coming off. Now we got a good top 10. Now we like to pride ourselves on that we get a lot of our content from our listeners. We got a great...
We're going to let them know that we appreciate their fandom.
We're listening.
Yeah.
We're not a couple of stiffs back here.
We're a bunch of blind, deaf...
Look. We're popular. We do well at what we do. That's fine. I mean, I don't want to toot our own horn, but we're very good at this.
You can toot away, yeah.
Toot, toot. And he walks under a wire into the bathroom. We're very good at this. So, but we want to give back to the fans that really made this all possible. And one of our early listeners and the early supporters, because O'Neill's has been a phenomenal sponsor of ours. We've hosted a lot of shows from there. It donated to us when we've raised some money for Clicking for Cassie. And one of the bartenders there, Kevin Ireland, we call him the Cowboy, he gave us a great top 10 based on Tim Tebow. But we didn't really get into the Tim Tebow thing, so why don't we get into it before we get into the top 10?
All right.
So he was obviously cut.
Yeah.
Unceremoniously after the draft. And there was Mike Greenberg. I don't know if you follow Mike Greenberg at all, but he was like...
He went off.
He was so upset that somehow... The fact that they did this after all of the draft was done and all of these free agent signings were done, and something like 21 undrafted quarterbacks were signed by teams, and that somehow was going to impact it. Now, I could just end the conversation right there in that if this guy, Tim Tebow, had any value,
yeah,
another team is not going to bring in a guy that they think could really have an impact on their team because they just signed some guy undrafted. From Appalachian State, they're not going to be like, well, we just committed no money to some guy to bring him into camp.
Right.
You know, they're not going to bring in the camp money where you just pay him per day, you know, their per diem there at camp.
I don't think that money.
To me, it's like, and I love Mike Greenberg, but like, what is he talking about?
Yeah.
It's not like.
That was him trying to create a story, though, I feel like.
I agree with you, because even like, you know, obviously Golic was against it. He went on Michael Kay. They were all against it. It's not like if they had released him before the draft, somebody would be like, well, we're just going to scoop up Tim Tebow and our quarterback troubles are over. Ryan Nassib wouldn't have gone to the Giants because the Giants would have scooped up Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow, yeah.
And the Bills would have been like, we're not. We wouldn't have traded back. We'll take Tim Tebow. He's our future.
Yeah.
Like, none of that would have impacted anything. Because even if you would have drafted a guy in the seventh round, you're like, okay, well, then we could have a seventh round pick and Tim Tebow in our camp. And let him do something.
And the one team that everyone thought that he might go to, Jacksonville, not making some kind of move for him.
Right. And so.
And they have Blaine Gabbert. It's not like they're swimming
exactly.
In the.
And the guy, the general manager who took over, the guy the Jets really coveted, came in and said, we don't want him. We're not taking him at any cost. We're not signing. We're not training for him. We're not going to sign him if he becomes a free agent. And so, you know, that's just an insane argument. To make this guy, if he was talented, you'll find your way into a camp, not necessarily get a long-term contract. You'll find your way into a camp, so that makes no sense. You're going to see, and I hate to admit it, O made the prediction after our first season. We had our first bold predictions for 2012, and it was the end of the 2011 season with Tebow Mania and all that, and he said, I predict Tim Tebow will never start another game at quarterback in the NFL. And I laughed at him. I'm like, after what happened, he's going to start I mean, nobody would have predicted the whole Peyton Manning thing and then going to the Jets, but you would have thought at some point he's going to start another game. Now, this guy's not going to start another game at quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
I think the best move for him, I mean, and teams did inquire, apparently, if he was willing to move to another position, and he's not.
He's not.
He goes to the Canadian League. He could, and that's not like a laughable thing. He did get offered a contract with the Omaha Beef.
He did laugh, so yeah, that is laughable.
The Omaha Beef of some independent arena. You didn't hear about this?
No way.
The Omaha Beef is a name of a team.
No, it's not.
In an indoor, independent league, semi-pro team.
Can I play for them?
They offered him a contract. I think it's something he should consider.
Yeah.
$75 a game to be a backup quarterback.
A backup quarterback?
An official offer.
But that's them being...
They didn't think that his game could translate into the Arena League style because he didn't make quick decisions.
You know that's them being a troll. They're just trying to get a ride.
Is that the best offer he's going to get? Probably.
No, definitely not.
Who's going to give him a better offer?
First of all,
he's going to play in Canada.
I agree with Greenberg, though, that the Jets completely ruined him.
They ruined him. But the way they handled him after the end of the season...
They ruined him from start to finish. The way they handled that whole situation
I agree with you.
I don't. I disagree with Greenberg about them kicking him in the when he's down when they released him.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever with that noise, but they mishandled him the entire time that he was a member of that team. The entire time, and you can say what you will about how there were anonymous teammates that came out and said he's horrible in practice. Like it's practice, dude.
Yeah.
Put him in a game and let him play an entire game.
Well, and he's always been known as a bad practice quarterback, which is the day the story broke, we were on the air when O was still here, and I said, he's not going to, even if you think Mark Sanchez is bad, he's not going to beat out Mark Sanchez for a job because he's never going to prove himself on the practice field.
No.
And the story goes that this first day.
Mark Roy is better than him in practice.
I'm sure Mark Roy is better than both of them in practice.
Yeah.
I do think that. I'm sure Mark Roy is a great, I mean, he's a very cerebral guy. I'm sure he makes all the throws in practice and all that, but I don't disagree with that at all. I mean, he definitely ruined him. It is curious, though, that even after that Tebow mania that happened in Denver, there were only two suitors for him. It was Jacksonville Jaguars and the Jets, you know, going into last season. And the Jets, he made the bad decision. John Elway is going on record to say he gave him the choice, and he chose, to, instead of going to his hometown team, he's from North Florida, that whole area would have been a hero there. He chose to go to the Jets. So it's not all on the Jets, but the Jets ruined them. But the way they handled at the end of this all did not impact his career. His career was over. His career as an NFL starting quarterback
that
was over.
That is absurd to me. That's just absurd to me.
What's
the guy? The guy has too much. The guy has.
Nobody else wants him. We just said no team wants the guy.
He's going to go to the CFL.
How could you? If you're a real talent evaluator, like you just said about the Giants, you sit in these draft rooms and you pick out flaws of all these people. There are smart teams in the NFL.
Yeah.
The Patriots will find smart ways to do things. You know, the Giants, the Steelers, the Packers, like all these franchises that always are good, find ways to be successful. As bad as the Jets ruined him, if another team...
Can I make a bold prediction?
Yeah, go ahead.
He's going to go to the CFL, he's going to win a cup up there, and then he's going to come back and he's going to start somewhere. He's not going to be good in the NFL as a quarterback, but he will get another chance at quarterback in the NFL after he proves himself in the CFL.
No chance.
Not a chance. The guy sucks.
I listen to me. You're going to be surprised when I say this. I actually am rooting for that to happen. I am beginning to feel bad for the guy a little bit.
How could you guys want to see anything more to do with this clown? He's terrible.
It would be a Disney-type story. This guy comes back to this. You know it would be.
Yeah.
I'm a dad now, Tone. I want to see...
It's so bad. I cannot believe how much time has been wasted on that.
I know. It's amazing that people care about the fact that he got dropped, and, you know, all these things. But
go away.
What we're leading to now is that he was obviously a Heisman Trophy winner.
This is the best intro to the top 10 in the history of intros.
We don't even have time for the top 10. So he was a Heisman Trophy winner. So Kevin from Norwalk, from O'Neill's Pub down in South Norwalk on Main Street, they said, he goes, what are the top 10 quarterbacks, who are not quarterbacks, top 10 football players, won a Heisman Trophy in college, had the worst NFL careers. And so you think Tebow's going to be on the top. I'm going to tell you, he's not on the top of my list.
He's not on my list.
He's barely made my list. You want to go first? You want to go back and forth? How do you want to do this? I've been in the top 10 in a while. So I feel like it's like my first time all over again. It's like I'm single again. I don't really know what like the, you know,
first
date.
Move,
yeah, I don't know the first, I don't know if I can do the yawn.
What's the etiquette on the top 10?
Do the yawn and put my arm around you? I don't know what the story is. Let's go back and forth. All right.
Yawn,
I'll go first.
Put my arm
you go first. Who's your number 10 person that won the Heisman Trophy, had a bad NFL career?
Archie Griffin.
Well...
Only two-time Heisman Trophy winner.
I'm going to be shocked. Okay.
Only two-time Heisman Trophy winner. Number 10. So we're going from 10 to 1. 10 being pretty bad. 1 being horrible.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what, doing. 80 or so Heisman Trophy winners?
75 Heisman Trophy winners.
Okay. That was close.
Well, because they had to get rid of Reggie Bush. So it would have been 76, but 75. Two-time Heisman Trophy winner. He played 7 seasons in the NFL. Didn't crack the 700-yard rushing barrier. That's pretty brutal, dude.
Pretty bad, yeah.
That's pretty brutal. That was my number 10. Who was your number 10?
My number 10 is fellow running back Rashawn Salaam.
Okay.
Remember Rashawn Salaam coming out of Colorado, went to the Bears, I believe, and he was a 26th pick overall, came out of the gate, and you know, he was Heisman Trophy winner, one of the best running backs in the country. Came out of the gate and had a 1,000-yard season. The rest of his career, only had 682 yards. Had some injuries, had some problems with marijuana. Tried a couple comebacks. He signed up with the Chris Carter camp of like, you know, I'm going to train you and get you back in the NFL. Didn't last there. Rashawn Salaam was a guy that was like, this guy's going to be an impactful player in the NFL. He had a decent season his first season, but finished his career 1,600 yards, 10 touchdowns, 12 touchdowns. I mean, that's a bad career.
Yeah,
he finished with what?
1,600 career yards.
And his rookie season, he had 1,000?
Yeah.
How
many years did he play?
I played a few. I don't know. He probably was in the league 5 years, something like that. He never played again. I mean, he was like one of those guys. I mean, he
played 2 more years after that. Wow.
Yeah, he was in a couple camps and never made it, you know.
I had him at number 5.
Yeah, boy, I would like to say, well, who's your number 9?
Remember for his addiction to marijuana.
Okay. Addicted, and I thought, I mean, when I've heard it's not addictive.
It's not. Okay, go ahead. Let's move on.
Get out the soapbox.
All right, Tone, legalize it. We get it, Tone.
Yeah, 420.
Yeah.
Number 9, Christopher Wanky.
Yeah, he made my list.
I had him at number 9 because he actually had a decent rookie year, 2001. I think he put up close to 3,000 yards, if not above that, and then just fell off the radar after that. I mean, he was a member of the NFC Championship team on the Panthers in 2003. Actually played pretty decently when he had to come in towards the end of one season. He threw well against the Giants, threw over 460 yards, something like that, and played well in the next two games. So, I mean, I don't know that people had a really high expectations for him. I mean, you know, he was 26 when he entered the league.
Yeah.
I think people...
The first Brandon Whedon that...
Yeah, he was Brandon Whedon before Brandon Whedon.
He lost 15 straight games as well.
No. Yeah, this is... So, this is why I love lists.
Okay.
I had him number 3 as the one.
Yikes, dude.
I know about the success. He threw more... But before Cam Newton, he had the most attempts of any rookie ever.
Yeah.
He not only won, he lost, he went 1-15 as a rookie. You say he had some success as a rookie. My man went 1-15. He then went out in the next season and lost his first two games. He has the second longest losing streak of any quarterback in the history of the NFL.
What was Troy Aikman's record when he was a rookie with the Cowboys?
My man did lose 17 straight.
Yeah, and definitely went 1-15 that first year that he was.
No, they were 1-15 before he got there, weren't they? Let's look that up, Tone.
I think
they were 1-15 when they drafted. That's how they got that draft class.
I'm pretty sure the rookie year stunk.
We got to pull this out. Oh, yeah, no. He they were 1-15, but he only played in 11 of those games.
Still, I'm saying.
I think for 30 seconds I didn't see all that. You looked at it for 5 seconds.
Mr. Computer over here. The wizard over here couldn't see the screen.
Yeah, legalized weed.
Yeah, it's not addictive, Tom.
I forgot before I came here.
He had already clicked on 3 different links. He's looking at Amanda Bynes.
I put my ass in.
So I know, that was one where I couldn't figure out. I knew he was going to make my list. I couldn't figure out because there's a lot of people that have worse stats
number
than he did.
3.
Yeah. 17 in a row, dude. That's Anthony Young type production. Who do you got at number 8?
Number 8, I have Thunder. I have Ronald Dane.
He didn't make my, but he's my honorable mention.
This guy, you want to talk about, everyone wanted this guy to succeed so bad. And, you know, he even becomes part of this Thunder and Lightning, even though he stunk. I mean,
the New York media machine had to make something
exactly,
out of him.
Exactly, because he wasn't doing anything. I mean, that was all Tiki Barber in 2000, the reason why they got to where they were.
He was big, so they had to come down there.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, the guy would run 3 yards and fall down. It was easy to take down. He had one really awesome game, like on Thanksgiving for the Broncos or something like that, or the Texans.
Which kept him off my list.
Really?
No, I just have some horrible stats coming up. That's why.
And yeah, I mean, he for a guy that a lot of people, you know, you watch him play in college.
Yeah, he was a beast. I think leading rusher.
As of 2011, he was 6,390.
All-time leading collegiate rusher.
Yeah, I mean,
Division I.
And how that doesn't translate to the NFL is beyond me. So, especially on a team that went to the friggin' Super Bowl that year. You gotta get more. You gotta get more outfit.
Get a little
out of
more burning. Number 8, I had Troy Smith, quarterback at Ohio State. Remember Troy Smith? He went in the 5th round, so people knew he was small, quick, but people were kind of worried about how his game would translate to the NFL. He's only got 8 career touchdowns. He was signed by the Steelers this last year. He's still trying to hang around. He got cut by the Steelers. Couldn't even crack the roster.
Last year?
Yeah. In 2012, he was signed by the Steelers and got cut. I mean, he was an electric talent in college, but you get a guy that's only produced 8 touchdowns in your NFL career, the Heisman Trophy winner. And when you look at, like, some of the Heisman – before, you know, just like an aside, when you look at some of the Heisman Trophy winners from, like, the 80s, these guys all produce, like – you know, these guys produce, like, Heisman Trophy winners. And even the recent Heisman Trophy winners have. But there was, like, a stretch from, like, the late 80s to, like – 2000, where, like, these guys, just none of their games translated.
Yeah.
And so he was one of them that fit into that thing in 2006, where it was just like, you knew kind of this guy wasn't going to translate, and he didn't translate.
Yeah.
8 career touchdowns, that's why he made my number 8. Who do you got, number 7?
Troy Smith didn't make my list, by the way, just FYI.
Okay, so Archie Griffin did. Okay, fair enough.
I still feel like he can make a comeback.
Did the Knicks lose that game?
Yeah.
Knicks lost, folks. You heard it here first.
Bonus time.
As you download it, if you haven't seen ESPN in the last 3 or 4 days, Knicks lost. All right, what do you got? Number 7.
Number 7, I got Matt Leinart. This is a guy who's been getting opportunity after opportunity, right? He craps the bed in Arizona. He was supposed to be the savior. He loses a job to Kurt Warner on a comeback tour. He then goes to, what, Houston?
Wait, what number are we on?
We're on seven.
Tebow was my number 9. I
Tebow's
that.
Not on my list. Troy Smith's not on my list. Those guys are still young. They still have a chance to make a comeback.
Tebow was my number 9, but keep going. Okay, so somehow I screwed up there. Okay, keep going. Who's your number 8? You didn't give me your number 8.
I did give you a number 8. I gave you freaking Ron Dane, dude.
Okay, keep going.
Number 7, I got Matt Leinart.
Yeah, Matt Leinart, sure, yeah. You think Matt Leinart would have better...
Matt Leinart's donezo. That guy had an opportunity to really make it, put a stamp on a horrible career and take the...
He's going
to
play in the NFL next year. Tim Tebow is not.
Yeah, that is true.
Tim Tebow is still...
What, on Earth? Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's not playing in the NFL.
Matt Leinart is officially stick a fork in him. Matt Leinart.
He's going to be a backup quarterback somewhere. He's going to be on an NFL roster.
He'll come in and get hurt immediately on the field.
He's still going to be on the NFL. I mean, Tim Tebow is out of the NFL.
I'm telling you, it's a one-year hiatus at most. It's a one-year hiatus.
He's back in action.
Tim Tebow is going to pull a Ricky Williams. Now, is Ricky Williams, is he on your list, Ricky Williams?
No. No way. The guy led the league in rushing 1 year.
And what happened with Ricky Williams?
He gets high.
Ricky Williams went on a friggin' sabbatical, weed sabbatical, with a friggin' Sherpa.
Yeah, but he came back and kind of did it.
And where did he go? He went to the CFL, got his stuff together.
Out of the NFL.
Yeah.
He didn't go by it because nobody else wanted him.
Yeah, but did he just stop playing football? No, he went to the CFL, got his crap together, came back, and he was a contributor to a couple of very good teams.
More than a contributor, he was the team.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. So you can't just rule out Tim Tebow because all of a sudden the Jets don't want him.
Nobody in the NFL doesn't want him. The National Football League. Okay, that's your number seven?
Matt Leinart. Yeah, Matt Leinart's my number
seven. Matt Leinart, I wrote down because I thought he would make my list, but
he's got an opportunity.
Because you know what? He's going to be in the NFL for the next 8 years.
Playing what, though?
Just backing up, just making paychecks. I got Danny Werfel as my number seven.
All right.
Remember his throwing motion? He, like, threw from his ear. You looked at him, you're like, he was at Florida, and he broke off. He had, a quarterback rating of, like, 600.
I wore number no, it's for Heath Shuler. Never
mind. Tell me you wore number for Danny Werfel.
I almost did.
Danny Werfel. So he went to Heisman in 96. People knew that wasn't going to parlay to a good NFL career because he didn't go until the fourth round. He only started 10 games in his career, threw for 2,100 yards. This guy was the best collegiate football player and was only able to manage 2,100 yards in the NFL. And he played a couple seasons in the NFL. He just couldn't crack it. Yeah. What did he play for, the Saints or something, I think?
Yeah, Saints, not Redskins. Saints and someone else. He was in the NFL Europe, I think, for a little bit.
He did. I think he won MVP out in Europe. But, we got our boy Abner out there, probably a huge fan. All right, what do you got at number six?
Werfel's my number six.
My number six, Andre Ware.
Okay.
Andre Ware in 89 won himself a Heisman. He was a seventh pick overall.
Yeah. That's why. Why do you have him at six?
Because I'm talking about their. I'm not going by where they went. I'm saying these guys were Heisman Trophy winners. What did they do in the NFL?
He didn't do anything.
Wait till you see my 4-3-2-1, dude. He had 5 career touchdowns, 63.5 rating. I mean, the guys below me did worse than that. I mean, he didn't lose 17 in a row, which is why.
That's not on him, though.
They won a lot.
It's a team effort to get out of a loss like that.
DeLome took him to, the Super Bowl 2 years later.
2 years later. A year makes a
huge difference.
Huge difference.
So the Jets next year, look out. Here they come. They get Jake DeLome. All right, who do you got at number five?
Number five had Salam.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you have?
Eric Crouch. Remember him coming?
How do you have him at five?
Coming out of Nebraska, third round.
This dude didn't do anything.
Well, he tried to convert to wide receiver. He never played a game.
Oh, my God.
He never played a game, but he was my number five. He didn't hurt a team. My other guys actively hurt teams.
I am dying to know who the rest of your list is.
Number four? Who you got?
I had Andre Ware.
My number four, Gino Toretta.
All right. We're off by one.
I'll tell you, as an Italian-American, it hurts me to even put Gino on this list. I'm sure Tony D won't even put him on his list.
That guy seems the least, other than his name, he doesn't look like a real Italian, right?
No, he ain't Vinny T. but again, another one of those guys, this is that era of the 90s where guys were really good in college and everyone in the world knew they weren't going to make it in the NFL. He went in the seventh round. Career stat line, 5 of 16. This is his career.
Yeah.
5 of 16, 41 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. He threw a touchdown on his first completion.
Career.
His first completion, he threw a touchdown. So after that, he was 4 of 15.
Wow.
However many yards, 1 pick. Quarterback rating of just a little bit over 35.
Just short of Ryan Leaf.
Yeah. So number three, who do you got?
Number three was Toretta, Gino.
Three was my Wanky. Who do you got?
How is Wanky three?
I just told you I lost 17 games in a row, and then a year and a half later, they're playing it under the bright lights.
Not on him.
Oh, God. It's a system. It's a system.
It is. That's a system
spoken
thing.
Spoken like
there.
A true collegiate quarterback. It was me. It was my system. Margraf didn't let me run a little loose.
He didn't let the snake out the cage.
He didn't let the big dog loose. Yeah. Who do you got at number two?
Number two, I have Crouch. That dude had zero stats.
He was my number two at zero stats, Charlie Ward. The guy didn't even went to the NBA.
No, you can't say that.
Why? The guy went to the NBA.
That's
the guy
not,
decided.
He didn't even have an NFL career.
Okay, so he had zero NFL career.
Yeah, because he opted out and went for an NBA career.
Top 10 Heisman Trophy winners had bad NFL careers.
He didn't have there
it's
was
not
a career to speak up.
It's not existent.
Exactly.
Why is it not existent?
Because
he's so bad.
No, because he would rather
be a backup point guard.
Opted out.
He decided it'd be better for me to be a backup point guard.
No, that
even bring my awful football career
doesn't count. He had to have been drafted by an NFL team. He had to have been signed by an NFL team, try out for an NFL team. He didn't do any of that stuff. He was just like, sorry, NFL.
The writing was on the wall.
No, he was like, sorry, NFL.
The writing was on the wall.
How do you have
Who's your number one?
Two? Jason White.
Jason White. At least we got the same one as Jason White.
Wow. I mean, and you look at Jason White's credentials.
At Ohio State. Ohio State University.
No, no, no. He was at Ohio State.
Where was he?
Jason White was Oklahoma.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I had a Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, Jason White.
Yeah, see, now he you know what he does for a living? He has, like, an apparel store outside of the stadium in Oklahoma, and he sells Oklahoma jerseys.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, look it up on Wikipedia.
That makes it even worse.
So, in addition to winning the Heisman Trophy, he was the unanimous All-American. He won the Davey O'Brien Award, the AP Player of the Year, the Sporting News Player of the Year, the NCAA Quarterback of the Year, the Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Award, and the Maxwell Award. The dude didn't get drafted.
Wait, I was going to say, where did he get drafted?
He was one of three Heisman winners lifetime out of 75, 76 Heisman winners to not get drafted. The other two, Charlie Ward, who decided not to get drafted
and
to go to the NBA.
Some guy went to the military. Poor Jason White. He did get signed, but never even made it off the practice squad.
Tennessee Titans, 2005.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, I think the consensus is my list was much better.
No, definitely not. Charlie Ward at 2 is ridiculous.
Charlie Ward didn't even have an NFL career.
He said, no thanks, NFL.
Because he's like, you know what? It's a better experience for me to go play backup point guard for the New York Knicks to even attempt. My game is going to be so bad in the NFL.
Ugh. I don't get that at all.
That was a good show. Tone, you got anything else to add on the Heisman? You got something?
No, you got
it. We just broke it down.
You got it all.
I love you, Chris Winkie.
Chris Winkie,
you don't
listen,
deserve the hate, my man.
You're old. You lost a lot of games. Now he's got some sort of financial consulting firm going on in his life.
He does look like he's torched at all times. Do you know that?
Oh, yeah. Chris Wanky's with Tony D.
He's with Tony D.
He's a big Tony D fan. Well, thank you guys for listening. That's the end of our program tonight. Again, I'm gonna let Neil Lynch, because he makes fun of the way I break down how you can get at us. Give us even, like, why don't you give us all of our Twitter handles, Mr. Big Shot?
All of our
Go ahead. Because I'd like people to follow me.
I got a
nice Twitter handle. I'd like people to follow me. Well, go ahead, Big Shot. What's our Facebook page?
Facebook.com/Tri-State Sports Guys.
Yeah.
You want everyone's Twitter?
Yeah, run them down, okay?
Go ahead, big dog.
I know them all.
My Twitter is @RealCinch. That's RealCinch.
Bobo's Twitter.
Yeah, Bobo.
Abner from the UK Twitter.
Mike D's Twitter is very formal.
Oh, yeah.
It's @Michael_DePalma.
Government name.
And
that's
there's
it.
And there's a little tip of the hat. At
a
the
little
end
tip
of
the cap to you, Mr. America.
And Tony D is @TD_Junior. JUNIOR.
Spelled out.
I'm very impressed that you got any of those. I wouldn't have gotten either one of those. No shot. No shot I got either one of you. And when I do want to tweet somebody and somebody doesn't pre-fill, I get so angry. Like,
oh,
I don't know anybody. So I'm like, yeah. Okay, Neil, you're not going to get included on my thing.
Just
I don't know
for if... future reference, you don't have to type the handle. You can type the name, too. So if you want to tweet me, you start typing @TONY, it'll fill in my...
Is that right?
Yeah. Yep.
I don't think that's right.
Absolutely.
I need to get a droid.
You don't...
All right, well, that's the end of our show. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. I will not be here. Tony and Neil will be running the show. So I'm really expecting big things out of you guys next week.
Big things.
You going to make fun of me? Maybe top 10 things you hate about Mike DePalma?
Top
10 reasons the show would be better without Mike. I'm just giving you some I'm just throwing out some ideas. I'm just spitballing here.
Top 10 reasons why Mike's hair is so luxurious.
Yeah. Maybe top 10 reasons why that baseball was autographed specifically to Mike DePalma from Jason Hamilton. Josh Hamilton. All right, that's the end of our show. Check us out next week.
Every Wednesday, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. It's 1 p.m. UK time.
The next day.
Thanks for listening.